Knoxville High School Playoff Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by JC&R Power Equipment, Big Cats Barbecue, Basio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Yim Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Knoxville High School Playoff Football is also brought to you in part by Tompkins State Bank, Conley Concrete and Construction, Gale Builders, Backhoe Joe, and the law firm of Whitney and Potts. Proud to bring you Knoxville High School Playoff Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Pretty good timing as we are just about to kick off. Josh Keller from Fieldcrest is ready to put the foot to the ball, and we have the first round of the IHSA Class 2A playoffs underway. The ball is loose, and Fieldcrest apparently is recovered. We've got to wait for the official's decision. And yes, Fieldcrest gets it, and Tyler Bachman, what a weird start. That was not supposed to be an onside kick. The kicker slipped. The ball barely went off the toe of his shoe, and it ends up being a turnover.
Absolutely, off the side of his foot, and, well, not a good start for Knoxville, but we're going to see what happens here.
All right, so, boy, bad break for Knoxville right out of the gate here as they give over the turnover, and the Fieldcrest offense comes out onto the field. Drew Barth leads him out. He's a big kid at quarterback, 6'4", 210, a senior. He's hit on 109 out of 186 passes. You wonder if they're going to throw it as much today. They've got two men wide to the left in the opening formation. Bit of a pause. Looks like maybe they're going to change the play already as they go out of the shotgun. And the inside handoff quickly goes to Connor Keene, and he's tackled after a gain of about three on the first play from scrimmage. Jake Benefield over there for the tackle for Knoxville. And the Fieldcrest, Tyler, I told you they wouldn't use hurry-up offense. I'm wrong. They're going out of the hurry-up right now.
Yep. Well, I think you start off hot. You got to keep going hot and try and drive down the field.
Fieldcrest, as so many teams do, looking over to the sideline, all the players, you get that signal from the coach. And they're finally ready to go. Second down and seven, the ball on the Knoxville 45. Inside handoff to Keene, and he gets wrapped up again. Nowhere to go that time as Alec Lester and company were up to the task for the Blue Bullets.
Lester, lead tackler on that play.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Ryan Hebbard wanted to do coming into this, force Fieldcrest into some third and long situations, deny that running game. We hear so much about Fieldcrest being able to throw the ball, but they still have a pretty good running game too, and on the first two plays, Knoxville has done that. So we'll see what they come up with on third, and still seven to go for Fieldcrest. Fake inside, play action, throw across the middle. It's complete, and just enough for the first down. Pass complete to Alex Nordstrom coming off the tight end spot, and Fieldcrest will keep possession on the opening drive of the game.
Yeah, and a good eye by Barth there to see him cutting through towards the middle of the field, and they really connected on that. They're going to keep moving down the field. They're looking pretty good so far today.
Well, I'm guessing you can probably hear the public address announcer as well. We are pretty much under the speakers outdoors in the rain. So handoff left side, a short gain coming up for the Knights. Jack McDonough gets the ball, goes left side, finally brought down over there by Gabe Sandoval for the Blue Bullets. A gain of about five on the play, second down and five. Well, as you might guess, today's weather has hurt the attendance. I think Knoxville has as many here as Fieldcrest does, honestly.
I would say so, yeah.
Blue Bullets have traveled well here. In fact, I think they've got a few more. Fake handoff inside, throw it outside, and boy, thank goodness the ball is dropped out there by Jack McDonough. If he catches that, Tyler, it's probably a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised Barth would throw it from that spot. It almost looked like he was going across the line of scrimmage, but must have stayed behind.
Yeah, they made it look like the run, and at the last second, Barth threw it out. Just basically a screen pass out there to McDonough, but the defense had come inside, but it led McDonough a little too much on a slippery day. He couldn't haul it in. Bullets get a break. It's third down and five. Ball on the 29-yard line of Knoxville. We've got movement on the line of scrimmage. Knoxville players pointing toward Fieldcrest, and it will be a procedure call against the Knights.
Well, and when you get to the playoffs, you get to this late in the season, you can't be making mental mistakes like that. You have to keep your head in the game, and that's the thing that's going to lose ball games. So got to keep playing and keep playing smart.
Now, both of these teams have had some success, and both have gotten drilled a time or two this year. We'll talk about their schedules that came into this game, and it looks like a pretty even matchup so far through the first few minutes of this on a wet field here in Minook, Illinois. There's a snap on third down and five. Back to pass. The pass is caught out there for another first down. They went to the left side to Anthony Rogers. Rogers is their leading catcher in terms of receptions with 32 on the season. He's only 5'6", and 160. Was able to just right sneak up the left sideline that time and caught the pass from Barth while he was falling down.
Yeah.
And Knoxville just couldn't get over there in time. So another third down conversion on a pass play keeps the drive alive for Fieldcrest there at the Knoxville 20. As we said, it's not all that cold. It's more just a case of the rain and the wetness that's the problem here. And now we've got a flag down, something along the line of scrimmage just as it was snapped. Another procedure call going against Fieldcrest. Yeah, Tyler, you know, we drove over here and we thought, well, maybe we'll drive out of the rain. Well, I think it's just followed us.
I think so, too. And not sure how long it's going to be sticking around today. But, again, we talked a little bit earlier. It could affect these two teams in their play today. So we'll have to see how they battle through it.
And this is really an old-time field here. I mean, there's only, gosh, what, about 10 or 12 feet between the bleachers and the sidelines. There's hardly anywhere for the players to stand. Fans kind of make their way into different spots to crowd around the field and watch this one. So on first down and 10, make that first and 15, nearly an interception out there. They try the screen pass, and Lance Moore read that well for the Blue Bullets as he was in one-on-one coverage over there with Anthony Rogers that time. And I'll tell you, Moore dove and nearly had a pick there.
Yeah, and, you know, Fieldcrest got started late on that. It looked like they had some kind of miscommunication at the line. Their lineman didn't move right away when the play started, so not sure what happened on that one, but they'll have to get their communication straight.
Well, we've been told the defensive backs for Knoxville have really been put to the test by Coach Hebert and company this week, trying to know their assignment so they don't get burned by this Fieldcrest passing game. So now it's second down and 15 after the penalty of the play before. Barth going to roll to the right, try to find somebody. The big quarterback does. He finds Rogers on the right side. He's got yardage down the sideline, and I think he's a little shy of the first down. We'll have to see where they mark it here. But a good gain for Fieldcrest. Pretty safe pass play, too. Well, it is a first down.
Yeah.
First and goal from the 8. When you've got a big quarterback like Barth, you roll him to the right, he has the option to run it or throw it. That time he felt like Rogers was open enough he could drop it off over there.
Yeah. He might have been able to decide either way, honestly, on that one. He had some running room in front of him.
He's their second leading rusher, too, so he'll run from that formation. We haven't seen it yet here. First and goal from the 8, inside handoff. Oh, boy, he got a couple of yards out of it. Initially, he got hit there by Blake Hennepin, and he was able to slide off of Blake and pick up some positive yardage. Not a lot. What are they going to give him, a couple?
Yeah, it looks like
maybe three.
3 yards on that one, uh-huh.
So second goal from the 5. If you're just tuning in, it's Knoxville playoff football in Monunk, Illinois. First time we've ever been here.
The scenic Monunk, indeed.
To Fieldcrest High School. More for their basketball over the years than their football, but their football team got into the semifinals last year, and a bunch of these same kids are playing. A very heavily senior-dominated team. Barth rolls to the right, can't find anybody, throws it over the middle, nearly intercepted. Wow. Mike Cavanaugh had his hands on it, and that's one he'd love to have back, Tyler.
Yeah, he sure did. You got to watch that ball all the way into the hands. Again, some mental mistakes like that in terms of dropping a ball, that can be big for your team.
It's just so hard on a wet day like this to bring that in. And
absolutely true.
And an ill-advised throw by Barth, who threw that into a lot of traffic, and a nice job by Cavanaugh kind of being sneaky out there in the end zone and coming across and nearly picking that off. So now third down and goal. Still the ball at the 5-yard line. We'll see what Fieldcrest does. One back. They're going to fake. They're going to run up the middle with Barth. Finds a little room to the right and is in for the touchdown.
Well, he found a hole up the middle on that one, and he just kept looking towards the goal line there.
Quarterback Drew Barth from 5 yards out. The 6'4 senior able to use that length and stretch across the goal line. And Fieldcrest, after the fumble on the kickoff, we don't call it really the onside kick because that was not what was intended, but they got a break with the rainy weather and got the opening possession and have taken it all the way in for a score. They'll go for the kick with Josh Keller, a 5'9 junior, in for that extra point. Snap is good. Hold is good. The kick, is it inside the uprights? It is not. Hopefully that'll end up being a big play in this ball game. The extra point is just wide to the left. And with 8:22 to go in the first quarter, we'll take a break with the Fieldcrest Knights leading the Knoxville Blue Bull at 6-0. You're listening to Playoff Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Conley Concrete and Construction of Knoxville congratulates the Knoxville Blue Bullets football team for a great season. Conley Concrete and Construction specializes in residential and commercial concrete flat work for driveways, pole barns, patios, and new buildings. Plus, they do general construction work like kitchen and bath remodels, room additions, build garages, and pole barns. Call Brian for a free estimate today at 309-363-1467. Conley Concrete and Construction, your hometown builder. Go Big Blue!
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Knoxville playoff football, and not a good start for the Blue Bullets, although a little unlucky as much as anything there, Tyler, on that slip on the opening kick. They see Fieldcrest get it. They converted two third down plays.
Yeah.
And then get it in on a quarterback keeper on third down. So,
you know, Jim, I think it's all about how you respond, though, in those situations. Yes, you had a rough start for Knoxville, but if it can come out, put one on the board, stay in this game, it's still early, a lot of time left, obviously.
All right, so we'll see if Barth, well, maybe they'll go with the intentional onside kick here. You never know. Barth, no, he's going to kick it low and up the middle across is the 30 and is picked up there for Knoxville by Mike Cavanaugh. He'll see what he can do. And the ball is on the ground again. The ball is on the ground, and Fieldcrest has it.
Well, that one just slipped right out of his hands. He saw it go off of his knee.
And look who got it, the kicker.
Exactly. Hustled down the field.
Boy, what a break for the Fieldcrest Knights. And again, it's the rain, and you just never know how it's going to affect a game. And so far it has affected Knoxville terribly here as Cavanaugh took it, tried to cut up into the middle, picked up a few yards, but then the thing was stripped out, and it was loose on the ground for several seconds.
Yeah, and Fieldcrest definitely rushed over there. There was not a Knoxville player inside.
No. And the kicker, Josh Keller, picked it up. And so with 7:47 to go in the first quarter, now they're going to reset the clock. There's a stoppage of play here, 8:03. So a big test for the Knoxville defense. Any of these playoff games, you don't want to get too far behind, especially a home team that's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
Sure, and especially on a day like today when, you know, passing is a tough thing, and if you got to come back late, it's going to be tough to do so.
Knoxville just wants to get their offense on the field.
They sure do.
Can't unleash their weapons until they get the ball at scrimmage. Fieldcrest again on the Knoxville 40. Quarterback back to pass, can't find anybody, going to roll to the right side, throws it well down the field, and it is incomplete.
Oh. Yes.
First guy that touched it was Tyler Houston coming over there for Knoxville. And then the intended target on the play was Derek May for Fieldcrest, probably about 20 yards down.
Well, I think May thought he was going to get that ball knocked down, and then when it actually hit his hands, he got a little surprised.
So second down and 10. And the field right now, I mean, we're just in the first quarter, but is holding up all right. It's not, when I was out there walking out it earlier, it's not the nicest stretch of turf you'll ever see. But especially after this dry fall, it's pretty brown, but right now it's holding up all right. Inside handoff, fake, no. Quarterback's going to roll left side, fake it, and we'll get dragged down over there. Again, it was Houston. Tyler coming over there and tackled him kind of high, but no flag.
I don't think they're going to give him a gain on that. Well, 2 yard gain, yes, actually.
Yeah, two or three, maybe. Is Blue Bullets again have Fieldcrest in third down. We've done that a number of times here early, but can't seem to get the stop that we need to get the ball back.
Right.
Fieldcrest does not, or at least so far, use the traditional huddle at all. They just line up quarterback, especially the wideouts and the running backs looking over to the sideline to figure out what they're going to do, and they're ready to go. A very senior-dominated group, as we said. Drew Barth back, rolling right, trying to find his man out there. Too high, the pass through the hands of Jack McDonough, his leading receiver for the season.
Yeah, and Barth didn't get much of a set. Obviously, was rolling right, but probably should have set his feet a little bit more before delivering that one.
McDonough, the all-purpose guy for Fieldcrest, he's run 28 times for 183 yards, but mainly he's a wideout. He's caught 39 passes for 588 yards and 5 touchdowns. So the guy can do it. He's kind of like Nick Miter was for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. He can do it both ways. So we got fourth, and we'll call it a short 8 or a long 7 right now. The ball spotted right on the Knoxville 35, and it looks like Fieldcrest's going to go for it here. Will they quick kick? I guess the option with the running back is Anthony Rogers comes right side. No, he's going to try and get it along this sideline. I don't think he got there, Tyler.
I don't think so. Not close.
So a great stop. Yeah, it's a stop. This Blue Bullets stop him on downs. And what a huge play early in this ball game for Knoxville to be able to make that stop and finally get their offense out on the field after two blunders on the kickoff team. 6-0 if you're just joining us. Fieldcrest leads Knoxville. We're at the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, and this is Knoxville's first play from scrimmage. I'll set the starting lineup for you as we go. Jackson Lewis under center, hands off inside. I think it's Tyler Houston who's dragging a bunch of Fieldcrest tacklers with him, and Tyler, with all that strength and determination, picks up a good 6-7 yards at least on that. In the backfield, we talked about the quarterback for the Blue Bullets, Jackson Lewis. You've also got Houston, who just carried the ball, and Jake Benefield, the fullback, and halfback Gabe Sandoval. We'll set the line of scrimmage here in just a bit. That Knoxville line of scrimmage, a good, tough veteran group for Knoxville. Hand off inside. There's Houston again. Not much room to run there, though. Houston ran into trouble.
Yeah. A good job of swarming there by the Fieldcrest D-line. They definitely group tackled him.
That Knoxville offensive line features Blake Hennifer, Dan Corbin, Shane Thompson, Alec Lester, Logan Golnick, as well as Eric Ingebretson, who comes off the end, as does Matt Kurgan for the Blue Bullets. Hope I don't call them the Blue Devils. I've been doing enough Quincy games with Galesburg. I may slip up and do that before the day is done. All right, so now it's a third down and short. Call it two for Knoxville. The ball on their own 40. Hand off inside. And, boy, I don't know if he got there or not. It was Gabe Sandoval. Initially looked like he was going to make good progress, but he got knocked back in a hurry, and I think he's a little short.
I think so, too. Yeah, he's a big body. He was moving forward, but, again, the D-line swarmed. Oh, well, they're going to. I don't know if they're going to measure this one out here. No, they're going to give it to him.
Wow. Boy, the fans on the Fieldcrest side are really unhappy with that. They really did not like that spot. And I don't know. I'd have to see it again. I know that he made some progress initially. And then it was one of those where he got shoved back so far, maybe it made it look worse to the fans when they brought the ball all the way back up.
Right, and we're about dead center. We're near the 50-yard line. We had a decent angle at it, but, yeah, it might have been a generous spot. You don't know.
All right, here we go with the Blue Bullets. Their first down of the day. They sweep left side. Houston can't find any room outside, tried to turn it in, and couldn't find much there either. This Fieldcrest defense has done pretty well this year with the exception of a couple of games. Their only two losses came to really state powers. They lost to Downs Tri-Valley in their opening game, got drilled here at home in that one. And then just 2 weeks ago, they were beaten by Gibson City, the number four ranked team, and won a 52-0. They ran into a real buzzsaw there. So Fieldcrest is good, but they can be beaten. No, broken play in the backfield, though, for Knoxville. This isn't going to go very far.
Yeah, Sandoval slipped coming out of his stance on that one. They had no chance.
Yeah, and that's a bad feeling for Jackson Lewis. You go back there to hand the ball off, and there's nobody there. So he just tried to make what he could out of it, turned it inside, and really got plowed.
I don't know about a quarterback's worst nightmare, but it's up there.
When he got to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I suppose getting blindsided by a 250-pounder yes. is your worst nightmare. So third and 10, ball on the Knoxville 43. Blue Bull is trying to keep possession here, and the 4:22 to go in the first quarter. They're down 6-0. Jackson Lewis stands up. We're changing our cadence. Nope, we're going to call a timeout. First timeout of the ball game is taken by the Blue Bullets here on a third and 10.
Yeah, well, really an important possession, though, here, too, for the Blue Bullets. It's only a 6-0 game, two turnovers in this one, but only one of them turned out to be a touchdown for Fieldcrest, so you keep this drive going, you stay alive, you might get down to the end zone and put six on the board as well.
Yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit about the seasons. Fieldcrest plays out of the heart of Illinois Conference and lost to Downs Tri-Valley 49-18. Then beat Deer Creek Mackinac, one of their bigger games of the season, because DMAC is always tough.
Right.
They won that one in a shootout 40-34. Then they beat Fisher. They walloped a bad Christian Liberty team. Beat Ridgeview by plenty, a 40-0 win over Flanagan, who used to be tough but has fallen on hard times. Beat El Paso Gridley in a conference play by a touchdown, and then beat Roanoke Benson Eureka last week. Interestingly, you would think Roanoke Benson and Eureka would be in the same conference. They're just down the road, but they're not.
Right.
Used to be, but not anymore. So that's Fieldcrest season
Well, you know, Coach Freeman, too, he said both of their two losses came to 9-0 teams. Obviously, they play in good teams. Everybody's playing good teams now that you're in the playoffs.
All right, after the timeout, here we go with the Blue Bullets. They'll go with the pitch on the backside to Blake Van Beveren, and he gets nothing, but we've got a flag coming in from behind the play. He got a yard, but is this going to be a face mask or maybe a hold on Knoxville? What do we got? Oh, a horse collar tackle.
Jeremy Sullivan.
We haven't seen many of those called this year, but that is one of the new rules in recent years. You can't grab up there and pull the guy down from behind, so this will probably be an automatic first down and a major penalty against Fieldcrest.
Yeah, Jim, and I can't stress it enough. You know, we talk mental mistakes like that and bad penalties. That's something that you look back on the tape the next day and you're just kicking yourself over it.
You know, maybe that was the ploy. The play call there was, let's run this play because I think if they're going to tackle Van Beveren, they're going to horse collar him, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that was the mindset.
Yeah, so anyway, first down by penalty. The Blue Bullets keep it as they're driving now into Fieldcrest territory for the first time at the 41. They'll pitch it wide, and there goes Van Beveren again. Got about two, and then two or three Fieldcrest players drive him out of bounds. You know, and that play right there, Tyler, indicates how dangerous this can be. The fencing for the bleachers, again, you're talking about 10 feet off of the sideline.
I know.
And if you could get driven into that really easily. And this is one of the old-time fields here. It's got the old-fashioned lights. And a night game, I'm not sure it would be very bright out here.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. And like you said, that fence being so close, he was not even going at that great of a rate of speed and already hit into one of the coolers down there in the sidelines.
He had to walk across the old cinder track going around here, and it's just a lake.
Yep.
Puddles everywhere. Second down and six, they gave him four on the carry. This time they'll go with the inside handoff to fullback Jake Benefield, and he rumbles down across the 30. Should mark it about the 29 for another Knoxville first down. The announcer just called us the Blue Bonnets.
Oh, geez.
That's not going to sit well with the Knoxville sideline. I thought the Blue Devils was going to be bad, but not the Blue Bonnets. Yeah, it's interesting because everybody anticipating the rain came with rain gear. The end zones are lined with the pop-up tents, and then a bunch of them on the Knoxville side as well. First and 10. Inside handoff, they'll go with fullback Jake Benefield again. Excuse me, it was Van Beveren with Benefield leading the play, and not much inside there. In a fast-moving first quarter, the clock down to 3:20 now. And, you know, you and I are talking on the way over, Tyler. You wonder how much this weather can make some games closer around the state than maybe they would have been. The sloppy track can be a great equalizer.
Right.
And a slick football.
Yeah, and you talked about that. All these teams both have to play in the same conditions. You really wonder how it breaks down for both of them. I think it's you both go out there with the same mindset. You have to win your game, and you have to play smart football no matter what the weather is.
Yeah, and you got to win up front. So this favors your line play. It's going to be hard to hold on to the football at times, and Knoxville has seen that already. Inside, Van Beveren gets hit for about a two-yard gain that time. Knoxville not able to find much room right up the middle when they've gone a little bit more of a slant-off tackle. There's been some openings, but anything that they've sent right up the middle has met a lot of resistance from the interior of that Fieldcrest defense. Again, Fieldcrest went to the state semifinals last year before losing to Pearl City, who eventually won the state title on Thanksgiving weekend. And they graduated some key people, but they've still got a very senior-dominated team. In fact, 10 of the 11 starters are seniors plus a freshman. I'm not sure where the junior and sophomore classes went in there, but a freshman snuck in. Third down and five now, ball on the 25, handoff inside. Now this time they will run it up the middle, fullback Jake Benefield, and I think he may have got it. We'll see if they need a measurement or not. The officials looking toward the Knoxville sideline. Looks like they're going to put the stick in just a little shy.
That looks about a yard less.
Fourth down, maybe a half a yard here, and obviously two down territory for Knoxville. Blue Bullets trailing 6-0, 1:40 to go now in the first quarter. They really survived that opening hit, though, from Fieldcrest. They got the touchdown. They got the other turnover. They stiffened on defense, and now the Blue Bullet drive continues. Will it go on here? Fourth and one inside. Tough yardage, and that's what your fullback is for. Jake Benefield got it. Right. First down, Knoxville.
And I don't think we've seen a completed pass yet today. We're almost done with the first quarter here. It looks like they're sticking to the game plan. Obviously, a pretty run-heavy offense for Knoxville, and they're staying in the game so far. They're not giving it up.
Yeah, if you're a team that runs it well, why put it in the air?
Right.
As long as it's working. Now, if that gets taken away from you, then you have to go to plan B. But right now, They're not getting a lot, but just enough to keep the ball. First down and 10, ball on the field crest 18. Houston this time going to try left side. Then he cut it back up the middle and was able to pick up some extra yardage. Waiting to see probably 3 or 4 yards on that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Picked up a 4 yard. We're going to be second and 6. Tackled there by Haley.
Under a minute to play in the first quarter, so Knoxville probably to get one more playoff here before we wrap up the first quarter of play. And again, a goose egg on the board, but Knoxville driving second down and 6. The ball on the field crest 14. Inside handoff, they'll go with Benefield again. And that's the rugby scrum you always hear about.
Yes.
About every player on the field just pushing and shoving in there.
Right. And, you know, you got to give to that field crest D line. They are definitely staying low. They're tackling well, and they're gang tackling. And that's something that you have to do to obviously stop this heavy run team.
Yeah. And they've got some size. Not a lot of beefy size, but some kids with some height and a lot of kids running around the 210, 215 neighborhood in there on that line of scrimmage, just good athletes.
Right.
And that is going to be the last play of the first quarter. Knoxville just letting the clock wind down. So we will take a break as well with the Knoxville Blue Bullets driving but trailing 6-0 to Fieldcrest. You're listening to High School Football Playoffs on WGIL and WGIL.com.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville.
Bill, Matt, and Mike Hennefant of Twin Hill Farms and the Whitney and Potts Law Office of Elmwood, which specializes in real estate and farm, business and estate planning and administration, want to wish the Knoxville Blue Bullets good luck in the playoffs. Nothing beats family farming and football. Go Big Blue!
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Getting set for the second quarter in Monunk, Illinois. If you're wondering where the heck is that, if you know where Bloomington is, just move up Route 39. You'll run into El Paso. Go past El Paso. Well, probably about 10 miles. Monunk sits right off the interstate here.
If you see cornfields, you're in the right spot.
So, and they're a combination of field crest of Monunk. You might remember the old MDR, Monunk Dana Rutland. They competed as that for years. But then they added Toluca and also, I can't think of the other one, but they consolidated more schools, made it field crest. And since they've done that athletically, they've had a real good run.
Yeah.
And here they... Blue Bullets go now on third down and 6 at the field crest 14. The ball loose on the field, and field crest saying they have it. The officials have not agreed yet, but now they have. Ouch.
Costly mistake as you're driving down there.
So the Bullets drive gets denied on a fumble. And so that would be the third Knoxville turnover.
Right. Just into the second quarter now, too.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, you're fortunate to only be down 6-0, but you get the feeling from the line of scrimmage, Knoxville can compete with these guys, but they've just got to limit their mistakes.
Yeah, got to hang on to the ball. Simple as that.
All right, we go back on offense with Fieldcrest, and big break for them. We'll see if they can take advantage of it as they go out of the pseudo shotgun again to pass out screen pass. It's going to net a yard or two out to Rogers there. Anthony Rogers. One of those, he's a kid, I think they just like to get him with the ball in space.
Right.
But that's Knoxville. Their job is to just not let him have the space, maybe let him get the screen pass, but there were two bullets over there in defense to make sure that he wasn't going anywhere.
Right. A guy that can get a quick step, but obviously not that time.
Yeah, Eric Engebretson, the first one over there, had some help from Mike Cavanaugh as well for Knoxville. In fact, they're going to say he lost a yard on that. Second down, 11. Ball on their own 15 for Fieldcrest. Barth going to throw it to Rogers again. He tries to curl out toward the sideline, and Knoxville again ready for that. And again, that's that. I think you're seeing Knoxville is very well prepared. I love schematically what the Blue Bullets are doing here the last couple of possessions. We'll give you the catch, but we're not going to let you run very far.
Exactly.
And if you were listening in the first quarter, they had several opportunities the Blue Bullets did for interceptions.
They sure did. And, the wet conditions, though, today, you wonder how that played into it.
All right. So, quickly, it's third down and 11 now. I'll make it third and 5. And there's a slant pass inside. That'll be a first down and plenty more as Derek May comes off the left side, just cuts the slant inside, and a perfect pass from Barth hits him in stride. And that's the prettiest play of the day for either team, certainly for the Fieldcrest folks. And that'll move it all the way out to the 43 and a first and 10 for the Knights.
About a 22-yard gain on that one.
Well, and that's a hard one to stop, too. It's a quick hitter. Linebackers have to be alert, maybe be able to deflect that ball as it goes across the middle. Take the handoffs inside. Barth's going to keep it. No, he's going to pitch it out to Rogers, who cuts back inside and picks up a couple of yards before he's driven back. Blue Bullets there on the job, trying to see who all was in on the tackle. There are a bunch of them. 53, Jake Chrisman leading the charge.
Was the initial tackler on that play.
I needed to, at halftime, I apologize, I'll need to check with Coach Hebert and company. I'm showing an 82 for Knoxville. It is not on their roster. Somebody changed uniforms on us here today, so we'll check on that one. Cadence gets Knoxville to jump off sides on second down and three, and this is pretty clearly a penalty against the Blue Bullets. They'll step that 5 yards off. Hustling in on the field for Knoxville, Gage Lambesio for this play, and Cody Wagner will head off, changing the defense up front on second and short now. Ball just across the 50 now, and it's second and a short three for Fieldcrest. They lead it 6-0 with 10 minutes to go before halftime. Barth back to pass. Lots of time. No pass rush. Knoxville's got to give him some pressure, and he just ends up throwing it out of bounds. A pass intended for Rogers, but I don't think he ever really thought it was going to go complete.
Yeah, I don't think he saw anybody really open downfield. Probably a smart play on that one, just leading it towards the sidelines and eventually going out of bounds.
You know, we talked about the Fieldcrest season so far. Knoxville season, they, like Fieldcrest, ran into a class below them. Stark County drilled them in that opener 46-6, as Ryan Hebert told us in pre. That was a wake-up call for the team.
Yeah, he said he made some personnel changes, and obviously it paid off for them, because the last few games, that last string of the season, they really put on the plug and kept moving forward to win.
Yeah, that, you know, the fact that they lost to Stark County wasn't that surprising, but the score, I think, was a real shocker for them. We'll talk more about their season coming up after third down and short here. Will Fieldcrest go to the air again? I was a little surprised they threw it on the last time on second down and short.
Right.
We'll see what they go with here. Long cadence, and Barth going to get it. He'll pitch it back. Some room to run there, and, yep, first down, and some more down on the right sideline for Connor Keene. Keene will take it all the way down inside the 40, maybe to the 35, before he's knocked out of bounds on the Knoxville sideline. A play that took a little while to develop. I thought for sure Barth was going to keep it, short yardage, and then he flips it back to the speedier Keene behind him. Keene on the season, 79 rushes, 877 yards, so he averages 11 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Wow, Fieldcrest a mess on that play.
Right. Guards pulling before the ball is even off the ground on that one.
The guard and tackle both came out of that one, so they did not get the snap count agreed upon, apparently.
Reminds me of my old playing days at guard. My coach would be yelling at me on that one for sure.
I bet. Yeah, you don't often see two guys pull off from, because they were going to pull to the left behind center, and nobody else was moving.
Look at each other like, what, it wasn't my fault. Right?
Yeah. But only a 5-yard penalty. First and 15 now, the ball on the Knoxville 40. For Fieldcrest. Barth, oh, he tried to go inside, but Blake Hennepin wasn't going to have any of that. Barth tried to go inside, and he met a whole lot of number 55 right there for no gain.
Yeah, we heard the pads clapping from up here.
Nice defensive play by Hennepin on that play, though.
Well, I really wasn't sure whether they had a man in motion behind him. It was Jack McDonough. I thought maybe they were going to give it to him, but as soon as that exchange did not happen, Barth took one step and then just got pounded by Hennepin. So second down, they call it a loss of two. Second and 17 now for Fieldcrest. Barth fakes the left side, nearly drops the ball. Now he's going to scramble up inside. He's going to make some yardage across the 40, down to about the 34. We'll see where they mark it. He rolled a little bit after he fell.
Yeah, and a good job by that Knoxville defense to stay home, not get too flustered. They kept him contained inside the box there, and he kept him inside the numbers.
Well, so far our fears about the field being in horrible shape and not being able to read numbers have not panned out. Everything's so far pretty good.
Right, right. Field's held up very well so far.
Knoxville's got the white uniforms with the purple numbers, and so far, not bad. Not bad at all. Clock moving at 8:15 and counting. It's third down and 10 now for Fieldcrest at the Knoxville 35. can bet they're looking passing formation. Barth going to roll right, tries and throws it out. Yep, he got a man on the sideline over near the sticks. We'll see if it was enough for the first down. Anthony Rogers on the receiving end.
Very close to a first down.
You know, in this Fieldcrest passing game, it's not like it's a big downfield passing game. It's just pick you apart, run guys to the sidelines, and try and get them the ball there and have them run. And he did not get the first down. Looked like he was out of bounds, about 3 yards shy.
Right.
So it'll be fourth down with the ball on the 35, and Fieldcrest will go for it. Maybe another big Knoxville stand here. They've done it once. Will they do it again? Movement along the line of scrimmage, and I think that's going to be offsides on the Bullets.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
And you can't have that. You just can't have it. You have to stay smart, and especially on those situations where they're going to do a hard call.
Yep.
They bid on it.
Yep, because they know you're out there defensively wanting to make a play. Mm-hmm. You're wanting to get that little edge on your man, and senior veteran quarterback able to get that cadence and get his man off. And so a penalty gives them a first down. And I guess on the Fieldcrest side, they gave Knoxville a first down on that horse collar the last time Knoxville had the ball. So each team has a first down by penalty. Well, again, just great representation from Knoxville. So proud of the number of people that came down here to follow this team.
Sure is. You see cars lined all the way out to the stadium here, and the stadium's surrounded by people.
Well, now the whole left side of the Fieldcrest line went too early, and I got to think we're going to march the 5 yards back. Unfortunately, you can't take the first down away.
Yeah, that's true.
They traded 5 yards.
Yeah. They wish they could, but unfortunately, no.
Be first and 15 now, as the big boys on the left side of that line for Fieldcrest both moved. Lucas Rankin, a 6'2", 235 tackle, and Brett Sullivan, a 6'2", 240 guard. Barth will keep it inside. He breaks the tackle. He's into the Knoxville secondary. Well, I was afraid he was going to take that one the distance that time.
Yeah, he sure got a little quick step up there in the middle, and he was looking for the end zone on that one.
I think Gabe Sandoval saved the touchdown on that one for Knoxville as Barth tried to put on one more fake. You know, that's another thing on a wet field. You really can't do a whole lot of faking them because you try and plant or you shift your body weight one way or the other and your foot goes, and that really limits your ability to do that. But second down and just two to go after the 13-yard gain. Slant pass inside, bobbled. Is it complete? I think they're going to give it to him.
Yeah, they will.
It'll be good for a first down at about the 10-yard line. Very simple pass play to Alex Nordstrom. Nordstrom just lines up on the right side and runs toward the middle of the field. And they only needed 2 yards, and he probably got three or four.
And you got to give it to him. Good eyes by Barth today to see these quick passes. That's how they're moving it down the field. And, you know, we talk about kind of a 50-50 match in terms of running versus the pass. They're quick passes. They're quick passes. They're getting done. They're not throwing it too far.
Scoreboard went out briefly. Now they're going to kick it back, and we've got a touchdown for Connor Keene. Yep. Number six, Connor Keene gets it on the pitch out to the left side, and as soon as he got that, you just knew that that was going to be trouble for Knoxville. Just not enough defenders out there, and Keene, fleet of foot, was going to make that easily, and he did inside the left pylon, and it's a 12-0 Fieldcrest lead. And there we had a little gust of wind. We haven't had much wind here today. Plenty of rain, but not much wind. And Fieldcrest going to line up for the conversion. I thought they might try for the two here since they'd missed the kick the first time. In fact, I think that discussion is still being had right now.
Right.
For the time being, they've got Josh Keller in there for the kick. Looks like they'll stick with that. Again, 6:52 to go before half. Knoxville trailing Fieldcrest 12-0 on the road here in this 2A playoff football game. This kick is up. Did he make that one? If he did, it wasn't by much.
Nope, doesn't look like it.
Off left again, almost identical to his last kick. In fact, some from the Fieldcrest sidelines feeling like it went through, but the official said it did not. So we will take a break. When we come back, Knoxville will get the ball back, hopefully, to put some points on the board. They trail 12-0. You're listening to Knoxville Playoff Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all, and most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
Bill, Matt, and Mike Hennifint of Twin Hill Farms and the Whitney and Potts Law Office of Elmwood, which specializes in real estate and farm, business and estate planning and administration, want to wish the Knoxville Blue Bullets good luck in the playoffs. Nothing beats family farming and football. Go Big Blue!
Start your day with the WGIL Morning Brief. Read local news headlines on your desktop or mobile device. It's free. Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
We're set for the kickoff in Monunk, Illinois, home of the Field Crest Knights, who lead Knoxville 12-0 in this playoff football game. Tyler, we're told the Fighting Illini aren't doing very well today, so maybe it's a good thing we broke away from that game.
I suppose so, yeah.
They're down 25-0 with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Here, Knoxville down 12-0. There's a squib kick. It's going to be picked up by Tyler Houston at about the 30. He makes some room up across the 40 before Tyler's finally brought down at the 43.
Boy, Jim, you made sure he was hanging on to that one when he took that kick back. Oh, goodness.
Well, and Tyler is such a good athlete. He's still a guy that's a game breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're Fieldcrest, he's the one you really have to keep your eye on. I mean, the Blue Bullets have a good running attack all the way around, but you don't figure that Benefield or Sandoval are probably going to take it to the house on you, but Houston might be that guy that could. So here we go. We'll pitch it back this time and go to Gabe Sandoval, and he gets about 3. Track's starting to get a little muddy out there. Not too bad. Still plenty of grass. So I've been to fields on days like this that are far, far worse.
Right. Especially the midfield is holding up. There's not too much destruction there so far.
Yeah, we did a game over at Monmouth College in the old field over there.
Right.
It was just soup. I mean, you couldn't even read the players' jerseys at all. Okay, they'll pitch this one back and get a little movement off to the left side with Tyler Houston.
A flag on the field, though.
Yeah, and it's in the Knoxville backfield, which isn't good. Still no indication, but that's what we thought it would be. Holding against the Blue Bullets. That'll erase that short gain and bring it back. You know, we talked about the Knoxville season and the loss to Stark County. Really, one of their greatest weeks, I thought, was to go down to Rushville Industry, and they won that one 26-20.
Yeah.
Rushville was a team that many thought would win the conference, and they didn't quite get it done. So they won that in week two, and it really got magnified when they lost in weeks 3 and 4.
Right.
They lost to Elmwood Brimfield, which wasn't unexpected, 35-20. And then the loss to Farmington was probably the toughest one for them, a 12-8 decision. And interesting because that was such a defensive struggle, and Farmington later in the year played that game with Elmwood Brimfield. It was, what, 77-60?
I think so. It was an outrageous score.
Yeah. So, but then they ran the table after that. Handoff will go left side. I think that's Houston again. He'll get about 3, but they've got to get to the Fieldcrest 47. And the ball right now just about the 39 of Knoxville.
Yeah, and you were talking about those last few games, and with decent scores, 40 points on the offensive side each game.
Built a lot of confidence, I think, coming in.
Sure.
Beat BPC West Prairie 44-14, whipped South Fulton 43-0, and then beat rival Abingdon 41-14. So they had some confidence coming in, but right now Fieldcrest defense has just been too tough for them here in the first half. It's third down and 15 for the Bullets on their own 39. They'll go to the air, try the pass to Ingebretson, it'll be picked off.
Well, and I could make a case on that one, trying to make something happen with a bit of a jump pass there, threw it right into a string of defenders.
The interception, the man that got it fell down immediately, so there was no chance for a return. But from a field position standpoint, if you're able to punt, you might have got him kicked down inside the 30, but as it is, Fieldcrest gets the ball at the 48, their own 48. And I think the defense of Fieldcrest has been the difference, and the other one is this quarterback, Drew Barth, very composed, and the line protects him.
Right.
You've got to get some pressure on Barth, and the Blue Bullets haven't been able to do that.
I'll tell you what, these short little passes have been adding up. Unless my calculations are wrong, we've got about 82 yards so far in the passing game for him.
Yeah, so it's not a lot, but just enough to be effective. Handoff inside goes for, next to nothing. We'll give him a yard, maybe a yard and a half that time. Knoxville defense up to the task on the inside. Knoxville giving up a good amount of size, especially on the left side of that Fieldcrest line. Those two fellas, like we said, are 230 and 240. They're big boys. And sometimes you can take that 230 or 240 and be bigger around than you are tall, but these guys have got some height, and they're just a real solid frame. They're for small school football, that's a good size line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've got a timeout on the field taken by Fieldcrest.
I'll tell you what, pretty pivotal point here in the game. If Knoxville can keep their head in the game, you know, obviously still a whole other half of football after this 4:28 that we have left here. But you give up another drive, it might be a little bit harder to come back.
You know, coming into this game, Fieldcrest was averaging 33 points a game. They've given up 196, but almost 100 of those yards came in the two blowout losses they had to Tri Valley and Gibson City.
Right.
Other than that, they didn't surrender a whole lot. They did balance it out. Rushing yards, 1,861 on the season coming in. Passing yards, 1,531. From what we've seen, that's a little surprising. I would think they pass for more than they rush.
Right.
Turnovers have favored Fieldcrest, and they have here today, certainly. They had only 8 turnovers on the season, while their opponents had 14. Derek Schneeman in his second year, young guy, if you heard the pregame, he's just 24, stepped into a great situation last year, took this team to the state semifinals, and he's back here in the playoffs again this year. So the timeout is over. Second and 9 now for Fieldcrest, ball right at the 50. Snap to Barth. He's going to keep it this time, try and cut it back inside, and he gets dropped after a gain of about 4 and a penalty flag.
Flag.
Boy. Probably not good for Knoxville either. I didn't see a late hit, but that sure seems to be the...
You throw a flag that late, it's going to be something to that juncture.
Yeah. They're definitely ready to mark something off against the Blue Bullets, and I'm guessing a 15-yarder here. They've never really given an indication. Here we go. Personal foul. Late hit, they yelled.
Personal foul against Knoxville.
So another 15 yards, and Fieldcrest threatening to make this a really tough mountain to scale for Knoxville. If Knoxville gives up a third score here before halftime, especially the weather conditions today. It's
and that Fieldcrest D-line been holding pretty well today, so the run game might be a bit more difficult too as well if Knoxville comes back out here on offense.
You know, we talked about Coach Derek Schneeman of Fieldcrest. He actually went to Streeter and played for Kelly Kane.
Oh, yeah, that's Gelsberg right.
Gelsberg connection, yeah. And he played his college football at Augustana. So he knows Western Illinois well. There's a handoff that ends up going inside to Connor Keene. Picks up 5 or 6. In fact, Schneeman said that he was that Steve Bell at Monmouth College had recruited, tried to recruit him. Of course, Steve is now at Augustana.
Right.
So the football fraternity seems like wherever you go, somebody knows somebody who knew somebody, you know, and it's always fun.
It sure does.
5-yard gain. It's second down and 5 now for Fieldcrest. The clock running at 3:32 in the first half, and Fieldcrest leading 12-0 over the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Last night, mid-county season ended, as expected, up at undefeated Princeton, 41-6 or 7. Inside handoff. Well, if it was dry, it'd be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Connor Keene, the fullback, getting the tough yards in there that time.
I think you give him 3 on that one, it looks like.
Yeah, so it'll be 3rd and 2. And the clock is much the enemy right now for Fieldcrest, as the down marker is. Under 3 minutes to go here before the half. The ball on the Knoxville 25. Hand off the try. Oh, that won't go anywhere. That will not work. Jack Madonna got drilled there by a host of Blue Bullets. Blake Hennepin, one of them there. Let's see, who else getting off there? Blake Van Beveren. And one other one, I didn't catch his number, but good job by the Knoxville defense to penetrate there and make that impossible for McDonough to go anywhere, and he actually lost a couple of yards. It's going to be 4th and 4. But Fieldcrest has been able to pull these out in the first half before. We'll see if they've got another trick up their sleeve on 4th down here. Barth will go under center. This is the first time we've seen this today. I think he's just trying to not try to draw Knoxville off there. That was what that was. Now he backs off into the shotgun again. And I think they're going to take a timeout.
Kind of surprising here on this last drive. It seems the last few plays have been runs here for Fieldcrest, and kind of going against what they've been doing so far in the game with their passing game today.
Yeah, they certainly wanted the whole ploy of that was just, they thought, well, Knoxville gave us a first down here earlier. We'll just get him to jump off sides again. And
yeah,
Blue Bullets were disciplined that time and did not bite, and so Fieldcrest had to use the timeout. 2:08 to go before halftime. At halftime, we'll talk with one of the Knoxville parents, Bill Hennepin. I was talking with him earlier this week. I said, how would you like to come over in the rain and join us at halftime? He said he'd be happy to. So it's always kind of interesting to get a parent's perspective on, they know what the kids are going through day in and day out.
Right.
their highs and lows. And, of course, Blake a senior, and find out what his future plans are as well after it could be his last Knoxville game if they don't rally here.
Blue Bullets 25-yard line for the night.
So here we go now, 2:08 to go before half. After the Field Crest timeout, fourth down and two, the ball at the Knoxville 25. They're going to drop the short pass over the middle. They got a completion, I think, enough for a first down.
Yep.
Connor King caught it, and he's able to struggle for a few more yards from where he caught it. I think it's inside the 20 now, as Fieldcrest keeps the drive alive.
I'll tell you what, I could see it right from my angle. He just throws quite the stiff arm on a Knoxville player there to get him off of him. He says, no, you're not stopping me on this one.
Fieldcrest fans happy with that extra effort they saw from their hometown favorite. The ball is on the 20 with the clock still rolling. Knoxville trying desperately to make a stand here to keep it a 12-point game before they go to the locker room. Drew Barth now rolls right, throws it deep towards the right pylon. Acrobatic attempt over there by Jack McDonough, but he couldn't come up with the ball.
Yeah, he had him pretty wide open, too. If he would have squared up and hit him right in the numbers, that could have been another touchdown.
And, you know, we talked about how Knoxville not able to get much of a pass rush. In many instances, Barth doesn't hold the ball that long.
Right.
In that case, that was just a quick, you know, head down the sideline, and I'll lob it up and see if you can make an acrobatic catch.
Yeah. Not much of a pocket passer either. Pretty good rollout quarterback and moves well on his feet.
Well, it's really tough to tell, you know, if he's got much of an arm because he just doesn't. He's a big kid. He probably does, but they don't ask him to throw the deep ball. Everything's pretty short. Second down and 10 now, 1:30 to go. They'll pitch it left side to Anthony Rogers, and he's going to throw it. Halfback option, a wobbly pass. It's a touchdown. That was one of the ugliest touchdown passes you'll ever see,
yeah.
But it did catch Knoxville off guard as they pitched it to the wingback Rogers, who stopped shy of the sideline and then threw it out there, a wobbly duck of a pass to Derek May, but it got to its intended target. May hauls it in, and it's a Fieldcrest touchdown. 18-0 now, Knights, who have not converted on either of their previous extra point attempts kicking it. And I think they're done with the kicker. I think they're just going to line up. Nope, they're going to kick it. I thought they were going to line up and go for two, but they're going to do this until they make it work. Josh Keller in to give it another try. He's been wide left just barely both times before. I think that's right down the middle.
Got that. And a little bit of a late roughhousing there on the end of that play.
Yep, no flag. Okay, we go to 1:28 before halftime. We'll take another timeout here as Knoxville gives up its third touchdown. They trail 19-0. You're listening to Knoxville Playoff Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You finally decided to remodel the kitchen and bathroom, but now that you're ready, there's only one problem. You're not sure who's best to get the job done. Can you think of anyone better than someone who built his own house? Keith Gale, owner of Gale Builders, built his own house from ground up and specializes in room additions, bathroom and kitchen remodels, and decks. In fact, he can probably complete most any project you have inside and out. For a free estimate, contact Gale Builders at 343-2108. Gale Builders is a proud sponsor of today's Knoxville playoff game.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
All right, well, Knoxville needs to rock and roll a little bit here because they've been getting rolled here by Fieldcrest in this first half of the opening playoff game. And Tyler Bachman, there won't be another playoff game until Knoxville can find some offense here.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to maybe about a minute 28 left here. Maybe they can get on the board, but we'll see.
Another squibber of a kick fielded at about the 30-yard line. Not much room to run there against the Fieldcrest special teams. They give up about 5 yards, and that's where Knoxville will take it over. You know, this is the case, Tyler, where you need a score before half, but with the field conditions the way they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You almost don't want to risk it for fear of having a disaster on a fumble. Knoxville's turned it over plenty already in this first half, and they sure don't want another one. But at some point, you can't play scared. You've got to play aggressive, and we'll see what they come up with here.
Yep, absolutely. We'll see if they go to the air, if they stay on the ground, but they need to put something together.
All right, Knoxville ready to roll here as they bring up Jackson Lewis behind center. They go inside, and Tyler Houston does get it.
Yeah,
maybe a yard or two, but clock running at 1:10 to go before halftime, and I think the Blue Bullets will go into locker room down three scores here. At least I think the rain is pretty well stopped for now.
Right.
It's gotten a little more on the breezy side, but at least the papers that I have that aren't completely soaked do have a chance, at least the corner of them, to stay dry. So 47 seconds to go before the half, and the inside handoff will, and that may be a yard again. That interior, the Fieldcrest defensive line has just been too tough to move for the Knoxville offensive front so far in this first half. Clock running at a half minute to go before the teams. I almost said head to the locker room. There is no locker room out here.
The tent.
Head to the tent or the bus. Or well, I wouldn't want to have a whole sweaty football team on a bus. But yeah, we're out in the back 40 here at Minunk, and probably the final play of the half here. It'll go to Houston left side, and he will get a first down, slipping along the Knoxville sideline across midfield there. They're going to mark it right at the 50, so they'll get one more play as he got out of bounds, and they'll move the sticks.
There is a flag in the play.
They say there's a flag. I don't see it, but they're sitting higher than we are, and Fieldcrest saying it's going to be against Galesburg. Long conversation here. Well, this is a long discussion here.
Yeah, they sure are. I'm not sure what they're talking
it's
about.
It's kind of weird because everybody's quiet. The whole field is just quiet, waiting on these guys to have this conversation.
Are they going to pick the flag up? No. Nope. Looks like he's going to make a call.
We need to mic the officials here, make it a little more exciting. 5-yard face mask against Knoxville.
Mm.
That's unusual to see that against the offensive team.
Face mask penalty against the.
So, what was going to be a first down, we'll put it just back inside the sticks. So it'll be third down and a short two. Last play of the half, though, you would think, with 6.7 seconds left.
Yeah, it looks to be going under center here, too. Might just run off the clock.
And that they will. Inside run is stuffed after about three runs, or make that 4 yards for Tyler Houston. And that is the end of half number one. A tough half for Knoxville saw several turnovers in the wet conditions, and Fieldcrest hasn't made many mistakes. They've jumped out to a 19-0 halftime lead. We'll be back with our halftime discussion, and like I said, Bill Hennepin likely to join us to talk a little bit about the parents' perspective on high school football here in just a little bit. 19-0 Fieldcrest over Knoxville. You're listening to Knoxville Playoff Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Big Cats Barbecue proudly supports the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets in today's game.
Go Big Blue!
After the game, come out to the grand opening of Big Cats. Enjoy some delicious smoked beef brisket, pulled pork, ribs, and some homemade side dishes. Just take a peek at their Facebook page. Your mouth will water. After dinner, enjoy a big Halloween bash, complete with costume contest and prizes. Kitchen closes at 8, but the party heats up with jam sandwich playing from 9 till 1 a.m. Check out the new Big Cats Barbecue in Knoxville.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime at the home of the Fieldcrest Knights, who lead 19-0 over the Knoxville Blue Bullets. It's been in some respects, Tyler, a tough day to keep stats because it's been raining and we're outdoors.
Right.
The press box is full, so we have our challenges here with the rain. But on the other hand, it hasn't been that tough to keep stats because there's not been that many, especially unfortunately for Knoxville, to really keep here.
That's true. Really, looking at about 28 yards rushing by Ty Houston, not a whole lot else here in terms of stats for Knoxville so far in the game. And Lewis has thrown an interception. You remember that one? It was a bit of a jump ball on that, trying to make something happen. But you see it now, 19 points down for Knoxville. They're going to have to put something together definitely in the second half to come out strong.
Yeah. They've been getting beat along the line of scrimmage most of that first half. And a couple of scores here. Told that Monmouth College is well ahead as expected over Grinnell, 42-0. That's just in the second quarter. And nothing else as far as high school scores in yet. We'll try and keep you posted as those become available. As we said, Mid-County lost last night, as we expected, to Princeton. Tigers just too good up there. Mid-County pretty beat up late in the season, unable to field their best team, and lost that one 41-7. Let's go ahead, and Tyler, I'm going to get your headphones, and we're going to let Bill put those on over here. Bill Hennepin joining us now here, Knoxville fan and dad. And Bill, thanks for coming over and joining us in the rain today.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jim. It's always fun when you and I talk. We're talking about exciting things with kids. And unfortunately, we haven't had the first half that we'd hoped for. But, you know, the Bullet Nation's still pretty proud. And we're going to be here to the end and see what we can do here in the second half.
Well, and we were impressed looking over there. A lot of them have moved out now. But I'm not too sure. Maybe Knoxville didn't have as many fans as Fieldcrest. You guys traveled well today.
We traveled very well. And I'll agree with you. I think we do have more fans than Fieldcrest. And that doesn't totally surprise me.
Yeah,
Knoxville's always traveled real well and support our kids, and that's what it's all about at this time of year.
It's been a difficult first half, especially just the way it started. They did not intend to kick off sides. The kid nearly missed the ball. It squibbed out there. They got it, and then we've had a couple of fumbles that really hurt us.
Yeah, we haven't made our breaks here today. And like you said, it is a challenging day to play the game, unfortunately. You know, we can't control that. But they had a couple breaks that went their way early, and you know, we created a few things there that got us behind. And, you know, that's football on a tough day, and hopefully we'll gather up here at halftime and be a little more poised when we come out.
As usual, Blake's had a couple of big hits in the first half here.
Yep. Yeah, he's...
He let their quarterback know he was around there once, didn't he?
Well, he was told that before he left home to make sure they knew he was on the field today. So, but and actually, I got to play with his brother, too. Case was out there. And so these guys are trying hard, and they won't quit. They'll never quit. The Blue Bullets have never been that way, and coaches have put that into their mind that we play at the final whistle no matter what.
Yeah, well, and you know, you're playing against a very experienced Fieldcrest team. These guys went deep in the playoffs last year. They got a lot of seniors. They got some big kids up front and a really experienced big quarterback, and they're tough to handle, aren't they?
Absolutely. You know, we're in farmland country over here, and I'm sure a lot of these big farm boys, and, you know, those are tough kids to knock down when it comes to that. And they lift weights in a lot of ways, whether it's bales of hay or in the weight room. It doesn't matter, but this Fieldcrest is. They're really good team. Their losses this year were against, I believe both of them were against 9-0 teams.
Yeah.
And you're right, they went to the semifinals last year, was 12-1, so they've got some tradition here too.
All right, let's talk about being a football parent. For you, it probably doesn't seem like that long ago you were playing, and now you got two boys on the Knoxville team. Have you enjoyed this?
We always enjoy that. You know, when I played back in the late 80s, we had a team that went 12-1 to the semis, and the community got behind us, and it's things that, you know, we never forget, and we just would hope that something like that could happen for our boys and getting the community behind them. And the send-off today and the parade down through town, I mean, you know, that playoff football is special, and to have a couple boys on the team, and there's a lot of – the senior group's been really close together all the way through, and so there's a lot of parents here that – with seniors on the field that we're in it for the boys all the way to the end. So,
what was that, 88 or 89 when you went to the semifinals, right?
Yep, fall of 88. We played on two or three days. It was much like today, wet field, muddy conditions. We won a first-round game against Dunlap, and second-round Beardstown, third-round Monticello, and fourth we went down to DeCoin, and it was a day much like this. Both Monticello and DeCoin was wet, muddy field conditions. And
yeah.
So,
and did DeCoin go on to win the state title?
DeCoin went on and won big in the state title game that year. So it's there's several of us on the sidelines over there today that were on that 88 team, and you know, that was a real special time for us, and so that's why we're always here to support this group of boys. And you know, once a Blue Bullet, always a Blue Bullet, and that's the way we look at it.
And going back to the Dennis Larson days, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dennis is over there filming today. He hasn't he's king of the Blue Bullets, and just a lot of respect for what Dennis did. And he actually coached our head coach, Ryan Hebert, too. And so there's a lot of generations here of Knoxville support that just keep going at it, and it's certainly a tradition.
So you didn't disown Dennis for going over to Abingdon for a few years, huh?
No, we he brought back a few things maybe to help things, but that was a good experience for Dennis, and we're certainly glad to have him back on our sidelines and just a real great coach all the way through and mentored a lot of young coaches on our sidelines, too. So,
yeah. How about life around the house with two boys playing high school football? Is that the topic all the time, or do they leave it on the field?
There's a lot of nights. That's our main topic. And, no, they don't leave it on the field. Sometimes they bring it home to the kitchen and the living room and But that's part of it. I'm glad to see. I've always been one that says you got to have a lot of energy and dedication in football, and it's a team sport, and hard work and dedication and rallying the troops. So I think emotions are always important when you're playing the game of football.
And it had to be tough early in this season because I know the kids had a lot of expectations, but the first part of the schedule was so tough. They dropped 3 out of 4. Was there really frustration at that point?
Well, you know, when we looked at that schedule, it was a little bit like last year. I told Blake and the rest of the boys, I said, you know, you got to really look at this and make sure we go 2-2 in those first 4 games, because we knew we had a front-loaded schedule. And unfortunately, we dropped that homecoming game with Farmington and put us 1-3 and our backs against the wall. And we made some switches, had a few injuries. But the last 5 weeks, you know, we played Knoxville football like we were supposed to, come out, did our assignments, put some points on the board, played good defense. Mm-hmm. And so it really, last week when we finished up down in Abington, was no doubt the best game we'd been playing. And so when you hit the playoffs and you're playing well, that's all you can ask for. So they got things turned around and knew what they had to do, and they did it. And that's that can be commended.
And the difference, you know, just that Farmington game, you still make the playoffs, but we might be on our home field rather than here. That just that couple of points on the week number 4, huh?
Football playoff is woulda, coulda, shoulda sometimes, yeah. And you're exactly right. I mean, we've talked about that several times amongst ourselves that, you know, maybe if a loss to somebody else puts us someplace else in the state or maybe even at home, like you said. So, but we are here today, and, you know, we're going to do our best here in the second half against Fieldcrest to put some points on the board. And, you know, we're all right. We're, you know, it's not the score that we'd like, but but we're not out of this game yet. We're going to make some adjustments in the second half, hopefully come out and make a good football game here.
Finally, what are Blake's plans going forward?
Well, actually, I believe he's going to go to Blackhawk East and do some livestock judging, as you and I have talked on the radio a lot of times. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the NFL contracts are few and far in between, and probably Hennepin's not going to the NFL. So we're certainly strong in that culture, and I think that's his plans, to go up there and be on the livestock judging team and travel the country with them and meet a lot of great people there too. So
yeah, because you can even go play D3 ball, but even at that, you're not going to go beyond that. So I'm sure he probably thought about that.
Oh, but yeah, you know. And he's had a few coaches encourage him to think about that. But health down the road, when you're 40 and 50 years old, you start realizing some of them old footballer injuries. Maybe they weren't quite worth it, what you thought, but you live for the moment when you're young, and that's what I've always encouraged the boys to do, and play hard, and so when it's over, and we move on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, always, so. All these games I come to, they play that Kenny Chesney song, you know,
yeah,
about football, and it's just a great song. It really is.
So. That's a true testament to small-town football, and certainly this Fieldcrest here gives you that small-town atmosphere, and you know, it's just been a great experience for all these kids to come together as a team and work hard every year and make that goal of playoffs and accomplishing that. And you got to feel good about those accomplishments.
All right. Well, Bill, we were talking about how the rain had stopped there just before the end of the first half. As soon as you sat down and started pouring again, your poor Knoxville cap's going to be soaked there.
I think it was soaked about 5 minutes after I got here, but that's all right. If that's the worst it gets today.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. At least it's not too cold. That's what I said.
No, that
helps. So. Bill, thanks for stopping by and for all your help for us agriculture and sports-wise here on Galesburg Radio, and we appreciate it.
We appreciate you guys coming over today. I know there's some fans at home that weren't able to come because of the weather, and hopefully they got you dialed in and listening to us, and so we appreciate you guys supporting us.
Hopefully we can give them a good report here in the second half.
There we go.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Bill Hennepin, our guest here on WGIL at halftime. We'll throw it back to the studios for a bit and be back with some stats and second-half football as Knoxville trails 19-0 at Fieldcrest. You're listening to Knoxville Playoff Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
JC&R Power Equipment in Knoxville is the one-stop place. Since 1992, family-owned and operated JC&R has been selling, servicing, and stocking parts for the best mowers and power equipment in the world. Names you know and trust, Gravely, Arians, and Husqvarna, as well as knowledgeable sales and service people who can help you find the right equipment and keep it running like new. Open weekdays 9 to 6 and Saturdays 9 until noon. Call 309-289-8801 or come on in to JC&R Power Equipment, your one-stop place.
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. Playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all, and most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
Bazio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning would like to wish the Knoxville Boys Varsity Football Team good luck today and for quality service you can expect. Call Bazio for all your heating, plumbing, and drain needs. Call 342-6010.
The official WGIL forecast, occasional showers and a high near 53 today. Mostly cloudy, chance for some light rain tonight, but clearing after midnight, a low 42. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high near 66. Tomorrow night, clear skies, a low 45. Monday, sunny, a high near 70. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high near 70. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high near 70. Right now, it's 48 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. WGIL's coverage of Knoxville High School playoff football continues with the halftime report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and time to turn our attention to Silver Streaks boys basketball.
No. WGIL, and boy, a flashback there to the Silver Streaks, Todd. We're on to the Knoxville Blue Bullets here, and we're doing it in the rain today. Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us for the broadcast, Fieldcrest leads at 19-0. Here, I can take a turn with the umbrella, Tyler. Your left arm's probably getting a little sore. Yes, they do have a press box here, but it was a little full, so we are out in the stands. And hoping that Knoxville can get some offense put together here in this second half. The Blue Bullets, as you mentioned, Tyler, just really not much to speak of in that first half.
Yeah, not really a whole lot at all. A little bit of rushing we had. I think we had about 30 yards from Ty Houston for the Knoxville Blue Bullets. But, man, I'll tell you what, on a wet and rainy day in these conditions, about 82 yards in passing so far for Fieldcrest. And I think those quick passes has really kind of been something that's hurt Knoxville out here on the field today.
Yeah, it's not like they load up and throw it deep down the field. They just beat you to death with short passes and runs, and they really work that sideline well also. So we're seeing the first team getting ready to come back out on the field. That's Knoxville now with just under 2 minutes to go before they kick off the second half. A couple of quick scores before we take another break before the second half kickoff. Spring Valley Hall leading United 20-0. The real surprise is that Stark County is having a struggle with 5-4 Tremont. It's 7-7, I guess, just before halftime. That's really surprising.
Right, yeah.
And the other one, Monmouth College Way, ahead of Grinnell. That's not a surprise. 45-0 on their, I believe, their final home game. So we will take a timeout and come back and have the second half of the Blue Bullets game against Fieldcrest on WGIL, WGIL.com.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville.
Big Cats Barbecue proudly supports the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets in today's game.
Go Big Blue!
After the game, come out to the grand opening of Big Cats. Enjoy some delicious smoked beef brisket, pulled pork, ribs, and some homemade side dishes. Just take a peek at their Facebook page. Your mouth will water. After dinner, enjoy a big Halloween bash, complete with costume contest and prizes. Kitchen closes at 8, but the party heats up with jam sandwich playing from 9 to 1 a.m. Check out the new Big Cats Barbecue in Knoxville.
Conley Concrete and Construction of Knoxville congratulates the Knoxville Blue Bullets football team for a great season. Conley Concrete and Construction specializes in residential and commercial concrete flat work for driveways, pole barns, patios, and new buildings. Plus, they do general construction work like kitchen and bath remodels, room additions, build garages, and pole barns. Call Brian for a free estimate today at 309-363-1467. Conley Concrete and Construction, your hometown builder. Go Big Blue!
You finally decided to remodel the kitchen and bathroom, but now that you're ready, there's only one problem. You're not sure who's best to get the job done. Can you think of anyone better than someone who built his own house? Keith Gale, owner of Gale Builders, built his own house from ground up and specializes in room additions, bathroom and kitchen remodels, and decks. In fact, he can probably complete most any project you have, inside and out. For a free estimate, contact Gale Builders at 343-2108. Gale Builders is a proud sponsor of today's Knoxville playoff game.
Bazio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning would like to wish the Knoxville Boys Varsity Football Team good luck today
and for quality service you can expect. Call Bazio for all your heating, plumbing, and drain needs. Call 342-6010.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville!
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Just about ready for the second half here as Knoxville hoping to mount a charge in the second half, trailing 19 to nothing. You just can't really put enough emphasis on what happened on that first play of the game, though, Tyler, because Fieldcrest kicks the ball. It goes off the side of the kicker's foot and ends up being an onside kick. They recover it. They go in for a score and lead 6-0. And now here we start the second half, and Fieldcrest is going to get the ball again. That play was just a disaster.
Yeah, it really set the tempo for the game. And you know, Knoxville, I think the two turnovers, and they finally got the ball there on offense. And they drove it down the field, but then you saw another turn of events, and it just really hasn't gone the way that the Blue Bullets wanted it to so far today. And I think coming out of the locker room, though, here, you got to stay positive. Yes, 19 points, quite a deficit to overcome here in the second half. But who knows? You get a good couple plays going, could get back on the board and turn the momentum around.
Yeah, whether it's basketball or football, they always say that the first part of the third quarter can be a big part of any game. And in this situation, if Knoxville's able to get a score, Then they're back in,
right,
and then it can be game on. If Fieldcrest gets the first score, it's going to be nearly impossible, I think, for Knoxville to put up four touchdowns.
That's true.
Against this Fieldcrest defense in the second half. So
you're the Blue Bullets. You got to get the ball back, and you got to stay positive and really get your team hyped up there over on the sidelines and keep it moving. That's going to have to be the key for them here in the second half if they want to keep this game close at all.
Again, here in Minunk, where we were talking at the outset, the rain was falling, then it stopped, then at halftime it started again, and now I think it's pretty well stopped again, but there's sure no clearing skies in the west, so it could it could rear its head again here. But the field has held up well. I'm very pleased. Did not expect to see that much grass still out there in the center of the field after one half of play. Again, it helps being a playoff game because you've had no sophomore game ahead of us.
Right.
Many times what we went into on Friday nights is the sophomores, you know, muddy it up, and then the varsity really tears it up on the second game, so you don't have that. Whoever wins this game, actually, if Fieldcrest wins, the next opponent probably going to be Anawan Weathersfield, who is at home. So I'm not sure who's on the bottom of the bracket. Should Knoxville win, they would host next week.
Right, right.
So they've got that nugget out there, too. If we could get a victory, we'd probably get a home game next week. But a long way from making that happen now. The Blue Bullets trailing 19 to nothing as they get set to tee it up and start off the second half. Looks like we're ready to go. And we are. A little delay, and now we are finally in the air and starting the second half. Kick is deep. It's going to bounce out there and be picked up by Anthony Rogers. He'll bring it up with one man blocking to about the 20, and he gets drilled.
Oh, late flag, I think, came in there as well.
Rogers got crushed by Lance Moore, junior on special teams for Knoxville. Went down there and really popped him, and I'm not sure, you're right, what that flag's going to be. He had a lead blocker, but it was Jack McDonough, and he's only 5'7", 165, so that lead block didn't amount to too much once Lance Moore came in there and made the hit. And what do we got?
Block in the back, yeah.
A block in the back against Fieldcrest. So Knoxville gets the big hit, and we've got a big penalty against Fieldcrest to start off this second half. They've kind of changed over the years. They used to call things clipping. You don't see that call anymore. They say block in the back.
Right.
They're a little more specific about the penalty. Okay, first down and 10. The ball on the 10-yard line as Fieldcrest takes over first possession of the third quarter. They go with the inside handoff, and a little bit of room out there. Not a whole lot over on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. There's that guy Lance Moore again who made the hit on the special teams. Let's see who else helped him out there on the tackle. Looks like Blake Hennepin, whose dad Bill was just here a little bit ago, also in on the tackle for Knoxville.
Second and 6 at the 15-yard line.
Gain of 4 on the play for Fieldcrest. They went to the Final Four last year in Class 2A. Don't figure to be quite that high-powered this year, but you never know. A lot of seniors on this team. They're going to pass it inside. And a completion and probably a first down out there.
Yeah, there's that 2-3-step pass we've seen all day here from Fieldcrest.
They make it look so easy. It's frustrating.
They sure do. I wish I could throw like that.
Kavanaugh, depending on that play.
And it is a first down for Fieldcrest as they continue to use that passing offense. They've passed it more than they've run it here so far today, even in these wet conditions. Inside handoff now. As we said, they're not running much. They get a little run that time from Jack McDonough. Brought down by Houston and Moore there for the Blue Bullets, but not until he rumbles for another first down.
For the Fieldcrest Knights at their own 35.
Fieldcrest hoping to put together a 90-yard drive here, which would really be a dagger probably for the Blue Bullets. They need to get a stop here at some point and get this football back and get something done with it. And they've kept it in between the lines here, too, as the clock going in the third quarter, about 10.5 minutes to play. Barth going to get the high snap. Now he's got a man, the fullback, out there with a reception across midfield and another first down as he completes it to... Where'd I lose my man there? Number 44, their fullback making the catch on that. Anyway, it's at the 49-yard line.
First and 10 at the...
Zach Moritz on the receiving end of that one.
49-yard line.
And Morris had only had a couple of catches this year up until that, but they made it work there. Inside handoff, McDonough finds some room to run. He's across the 40, 35, down near the Knoxville 30-yard line. Before he's finally brought down there by Eric Engebretson. And this Fieldcrest offense has found some life, both mixing the run and the pass here, Tyler.
Boy, I'll tell you what, they've gone to McDonough about 3 times so far out here today. 4-yard rush, 9-yard rush, and that one about, let's say, 15 or so.
You know, we were talking at halftime about that Kenny Chesney song, The Boys of Fall, and they play that at most of these fields. And, you know, McDonough, one of those guys, reminds me, Kenny Chesney is a little guy, the country performer, but I can imagine him playing about like that. He just, you know, he'd love to get out there and mix it up, even though he wasn't the biggest guy. Still enjoyed high school football. There goes McDonough again, but he doesn't go very far this time before he is just erased by one of the Knoxville linebackers coming over there, Blake Van Beveren, with the big tackle for the Blue Bullets.
Yeah, maybe about a gain of one, if anything.
You know, one thing about the rain, too, it makes the ground a little softer. I'm sure this turf was pretty hard after the dry fall that we've had.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
And this softens things up a little bit, makes that landing a little bit more comfortable. So it's second and 10 now after no gain on the first play. They go to Rogers on the swing pass near side. He finds some room, but there's a penalty flag down. He's going to get about 10 yards, but I think this is all coming back.
There is a flag on the play.
Man, he's a little shaken up there on the field, grabbing his leg.
Yeah, that's not good. He's holding that. Hopefully it's a muscle and not, it looks like he's holding his left knee there, and hopefully it's just a muscle. Because if you get a cramp, that can, you can have the same reaction.
Right.
So hopefully that's all they'll find with the young man. Rogers making the run there. Again, a penalty flag. We haven't had any indication just what that is. I've got to think it's going to be on Fieldcrest, but until the player injury is... Nope, they are going to indicate it now. Yep, it's against Fieldcrest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are looking at his knee right now. So.
Yeah, not stretching it out. I'm not sure about a cramp on this one.
Yeah, I was hoping that that's what it was, but boy, he's still hurting. You hate to see that for the young man. Such an integral part of this Fieldcrest team is Anthony Rogers. And it was something just at the end of the play because he seemed to run out just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then after he'd been tackled, either they got twisted or just what happened. But we'll see. Are they going to lift him up? And, yeah, he's going to try to walk off the field under his own power. We'll see what happens here. And I think he's going to need some assistance.
Yeah.
He's trying to tough it out. But I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
Takes the ball back to the 45-yard line.
Now they're going to mark off 15 yards. And, nope, he's not able to put much weight at all on that knee. And that's a big blow to Fieldcrest, not only today, but for their hopes going forward. And, again, maybe it's something that will allow him to be back. But, boy, you get a knee and where you can't put any weight on it like that, and you've got to think that there will be something wrong with that that might keep him out for a while. So
yeah, absolutely. He's definitely their leading receiver today. Almost 70 yards worth of receptions for him so far. It's too bad to see him going off the field like that.
Yeah, well, in this attack of, I don't know, you could almost call them the Smurfs, these little guys. Rodgers at 5'6", and mm-hmm. McDonough at 5'7". But they're quick, and they give quarterback Drew Barth a lot of options to throw to, and so we'll see what happens. Rodgers just over on the sidelines here now.
Yeah, especially those short passes you talked about before. That quick step gives them the ability to throw short, and they can make the maneuvers themselves.
Okay, here we go now. Took a while, but now we're ready to roll again. Barth throws it off over the middle. McDonough cannot handle it. He got it on his right hand, but as he was trying to pull it in, he couldn't quite do it. Looked up and saw a Knoxville defender. That might have distracted him as well.
Yeah, a definite design screen on that one, and he catches that one. Who knows where he's going to be?
A little break there. The Blue Bullets see the drop pass by Fieldcrest.
I'll tell you what, though, Jim, back to a 3rd and 25 here. If Knoxville can stop them, they took a team that was getting down toward the end zone, and they could get the ball back and start their game.
Haven't seen a punt yet today. Hoping for the first one here. On 3rd and 25, Barth with a play action, pumps. Now he throws it deep, and it is caught, and that could be six more.
That's a touchdown.
They're going to call it down just shy of the end zone.
Nope.
As the pump fake got the Knoxville corner to bite, Derek May got just behind the coverage that time. It was one-on-one coverage. Eric Engelbretson was trying to cover, but looked like he went up to swat the ball maybe just a little bit early, and the ball came down in Derek May's arms, and a long pass play gets it to the one-yard line, and quickly Fieldcrest is up to the line. They're ready to punch this in and give themselves a 4-touchdown lead. Barth going to try and do it himself right up the middle, and he does. Quarterback Drew Barth with a 1-yard sneak following the long pass play to Derek May of nearly 50 yards. And with 8:51 to go in the third quarter, Fieldcrest has stretched its lead to 25-0 over the Blue Bullets. Fieldcrest 1 out of 3 so far in extra point kicks. And I think we had a penalty here. Now we've got a personal foul. That's going to go against Knoxville. So that's...
I don't know if that's just an aggression play right there for frustration or what.
Well, in this case, I would assume they go ahead, put it half the distance to the goal, and run for two rather than kick the one extra point.
Yeah, you make it a 27-point game there.
Looks like Drew Barth, the quarterback, going to stay in. I don't see the kicker out on the field this time. And they will line it up. Well, no, now here he comes.
Extra point by Josh Keller.
Josh Keller is coming into the game after all. Well, no, he's going to come in to go wide out to the right. It's taken a long time to get this one put together.
Some confusion going on with the players or what?
Barth stays in. They'll run it out of the shotgun on this 2-point conversion. Again, it's a short one. They only got to go a yard and a half. Fake the pass, and he'll run right up the middle, and nobody will touch him. Yeah, he could have run right into the tents behind the end zone there and had a hamburger, I think.
Sure could. He put that 4 wide out there. You think maybe he's going to do a little quick pass, and he just takes it himself.
All right, 8:51 to go in the third quarter. Despite starting with bad field position at their own 10, the Fieldcrest Knights take it 90 yards down the field for a touchdown. And now are firmly in control of this game, leading 27-0. We'll take a break and be back as Knoxville will touch the first football for the first time this half after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all, and most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville.
Bazio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning would like to wish the Knoxville Boys Varsity Football Team good luck today. And for quality service you can expect, call Bazio for all your heating, plumbing, and drain needs. Call 342-6010.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Well, a penalty assessed to the personal foul, actually, on the kickoff here as well. So they're going to, Fieldcrest is going to kick off from Knoxville's 45, and they'll go with the onside kick. And it's grabbed there by Blake Hennepin, who falls on it. Good hands by Blake. So Knoxville going to start it from their own 34. Been getting some scores. I mentioned some of those. I had not mentioned. I looked at my phone here. Our play-by-play man for Galesburg High School, Brad Benowitz, has been sending a few as well. Sterling leading Metamora 28-0 in the second quarter. Surprised that that one is that lopsided. Also, Glenbard West, this is not a surprise, beating Moline 27-2 in the second quarter. Tyler, you're from up in that area. You're probably not too surprised with Glenbard West.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a pretty good powerhouse most years.
So we'll try and keep you posted. Last we knew, Spring Valley Hall was leading United 20-0. The big surprise on the first play for Knoxville, a short run for a couple of yards. Stark County and Tremont were 7-all. And as far as I know, that's at halftime. So who would have thought Tremont at 5-4 would play Stark County that tough? But you find out at playoff time, it's hard to gauge just how good your area of football is sometimes.
Right.
Until you get out and play teams from other parts of the state. We've had years where we thought the football was really good and found out maybe it wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then other years we've been surprised when teams from our area have gone out and have done really, really well. This year, we had a feeling that this was going to be a tough year in the playoffs for area teams, and so far that's been the case. Mid-County getting thumped last night by Princeton. United 20 points behind, and now Knoxville with a near fumble. They threw it back on the pitch to Tyler Houston. He got it, but by the time he was able to corral that, he had about six Fieldcrest defenders all over him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Houston about lost that ball. He was pretty lucky. He just fell right back down into his hands there, but could have been another costly turnover for Knoxville today.
Well, and you know, case in point, Stark County, they're the kind of the standard bearer for our part of the state, I think, this year as far as playoff football, and they're struggling with Tremont, which is 5-4 playing over in this area. And you know, Stark County, outside of a couple of tough games early, Anawan Weathersfield in particular, hadn't been challenged, and that can come back to haunt you at this time of year.
Yep.
When you really haven't had a whole lot of tough competition.
I'll tell you what, Jimmy, crunch the numbers, playoff football, anything can happen.
That's right, and a handoff inside to Tyler Houston, and he'll get about two. But, again, there's just no room for any big – Knoxville needs some big plays. They need to rip off, you know, a long touchdown run or 15, 20 yards at a clip here, and they just can't get it done. And I think my biggest surprise today, Tyler, has been this Fieldcrest defense.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been playing well, especially their big guys up front. They've been holding down that Knoxville running game and gang tackling. That's what you got to do with a team like Knoxville.
So it's fourth down and six, and the Blue Bullets will go to punt formation. Tyler Houston back. He'll kick it with the heels on his own 25 right here if he gets a good snap. And it's a high snap, but Houston, of course, very tall, good athlete. He thunders. Good kick. Going to be fielded at about the 25. Nope, the return man, McDonough, doesn't want to touch it. Knoxville saying that he did touch it. The Blue Bullets picked the ball up and run it into the end zone. That was Mike Cavanaugh.
They're going to call it a down ball, though, I think.
Yeah, I don't blame Cavanaugh, though, for trying. I thought maybe McDonough had touched that. And, in fact, the conversation now, Gabe Sandoval for Knoxville over there talking to the official saying, hey, I think that ball hit him. But the official didn't look like he's considering that too much.
Now they're going to talk it over here for a little bit. Not quite sure.
Either that or something else.
Yeah.
A very dreary day here, and the scoreboard dreary for Knoxville, down 27-0, 6:22 to go in the third. Starting to get a little foggy out on the perimeter, too, as we look out into the farm fields around us here.
A long conversation here. I don't know. I'm not sure, Jim, what they're going to call, but they're at least going to talk it over.
Glenbard West now leading Western Big 6 Moline 42-3 in the third quarter.
We've got one ref I saw was pointing to his finger like he touched the ball.
Had quite a conversation. This would be one of those big breaks that Knoxville needs to try and get back in the game. And, yeah.
Knoxville ball. Yeah, they're going to have it.
They've already set their offensive unit back out there. It's really been poorly communicated. I don't think anybody on this side of the stands really knew what was going on. And They never did make any indication. But Knoxville has their offense back out on the field, and Jackson Lewis out there ready to run the show. So,
yeah, Coach Sneeman not too happy about that when he's asking what's up with that call.
Yeah. Well, and then the poor communication that went on with that, too.
Right.
And the official comes over and brushes one hand over the other as if to say, you know, it grazed him. But, and again, I think there's a good chance it did. I just thought the officials were.
Well, you got to wonder if he's going off the call of one of the officials who was in the right, you know, the right spot, the best spot to make that call. But regardless, Knoxville has it, and they're right down there.
All right. Let's get that touchdown back, Blue Bullets. First and 10. The ball on the, looks like about the 20. We'll have to double check that. It's on the right side of the field. And boy, that's going nowhere.
There's that D line again, staying strong for Fieldcrest.
All they did was make the defensive men for Fieldcrest mad. Brett Sullivan, he's a load. He's 6'2", 240, and he's a rough and tumble kid. I mean, he's not just big, he plays hard. And his running mate Lucas Rankin, that other senior, 6'2", 235, does as well. And the two of them on the same side of the line on both offense and defense, and that's a lot to handle over there for.
I'll tell you what, he's one of the big uglies you don't want to go up against.
Yeah, he was like you when you played, right?
Yeah, right.
You were a big ugly at guard.
Oh.
Hand off to the right side. No, they'll fake it and keep it with a keeper around the left side for quarterback Jackson Lewis, and he picks up good yardage.
Yeah, a bit of a misdirection there. Moved himself over.
Not a first down, but they'll give him about six on the carry.
Well, I think they're going to try. They're trying something else. You're trying to get out of just going that rush right down the middle with their three-back set. They're trying to make something happen, obviously, and they need to with about 5:15 left to go here in the third.
All right, a few other scores. Sterling Newman leading Farmington 14-6 in the first quarter. That one had a little later start. Handoff inside to Houston, going around left side, and he's gobbled up by that big twosome we talked about. The big guys were at Fieldcrest, a gain of about one.
There is a flag on the play.
The official's talking this one over again, too, right now. I'm not sure what they're looking for a spot.
Orion leads Chicago Douglas 14-0. Anawan Weathersfield crushing Rockford Christian Life. We figured that'd be a blowout. 35-0 in the first quarter. And I think Eric was trying to give me a Spring Valley Hall score there. Run that one by me again, Eric. 20-0 still Spring Valley Hall over United.
So we got two personal fouls on that one. Both offset each other. Brings up a 4th and 4 here for Knoxville. About the 10-yard line. A little, maybe about the 8-yard line. It looks like they got moved it up a little bit.
All right, junior quarterback Jackson Lewis coming in quickly from the sidelines with the play. You know, he's had to work his way into this and has done better and better as the year has gone along. Handoff's a little more crisp, a little more comfortable with the team. This is a big play right here. Handoff Houston, left side. He'll follow his lead blockers, and he may have it.
I think he does. He'll take that big body up the middle, and he leaned forward for it, I think.
Yeah, he really did a nice job sticking his head in behind his lead blockers there and let them pave the way. And even though they were going right into the teeth of the bigger part of that Fieldcrest defense, they, I think, got it done. They still haven't given, yep, there's the indication, first down Knoxville. 4:31 to go, third quarter. This has been a real slow progression in this third quarter. We had the injury down on the other end, and Fieldcrest finally finished off their drive. Now we've had controversy on the punt, a long delay there as the officials talked it over, and then after this double personal foul penalty, let's play some football.
Right. You know, and this is where the Knoxville needs to be if they want a shot at this, but it could be a little too late.
All right, first down and 10. The ball at the 5. It's at the 5. Inside they go, and maybe a yard in there. A massive humanity from both sides piling in on that run inside by Knoxville.
And if you're us, the umbrella goes back up.
Yep, I hear the rain coming down on the poncho again here. They went inside that time with Jake Benefield.
They're spotting that ball at the 3-yard line.
And, you know, this is where you expect it to be fullback territory, but boy, those yards can be so hard to come by against a tough defensive interior. They go off the right side, spinning toward the goal line, getting close for Knoxville. Who was that, Houston?
Yeah, I believe that was Ty Houston down there. It looked like he got tripped up a little bit when he was trying to move forward, but actually, correction,
Picked up on that play.
I'm not quite sure. It looked like it was Houston. I'm pretty sure that's who took the ball on that one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, those white uniforms are pretty much dirty mud and a little navy blue number on them right now for the guys that are getting tackled a lot. You can tell the ones that haven't been in the game much, they're nice and white. There's a handoff to Houston inside. Left side, touchdown. Touchdown, Knoxville. Their first crossing of the goal line comes at the 3:03 mark of the third quarter. And the Blue Bullets are on the board, but they still got a long way to go. They take advantage of the miscue on the punt that was touched by Fieldcrest, their first turnover. And Knoxville makes some pay with a one-yard plunge by Tyler Houston. And it's 27-6 with what I would guess would be a two-point conversion attempt coming for Knoxville here. Is hopefully a historic comeback has started, Tyler.
That would be great, but it's going to take some work, that's for sure.
And the thing is, they got to get the stops on defense. So, all right, they'll line up for that two-point conversion as we expected as Lewis looks right, left, and we'll hand it off to Tyler Houston, who's fighting his way toward the goal line.
Staying up on his feet, but
wow, he was driving but couldn't get there. He kept trying to go cut inside. He went farther left, and then the pursuit just came on that much stronger, and so the conversion is denied.
Right.
As the rain starts to fall again here in Minook, Illinois, Fieldcrest leads Knoxville 27-6. Back with more playoff football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Conley Concrete and Construction of Knoxville congratulates the Knoxville Blue Bullets football team for a great season. Conley Concrete and Construction specializes in residential and commercial concrete flatwork for driveways, pole barns, patios, and new buildings. Plus, they do general construction work like kitchen and bath remodels, room additions, build garages, and pole barns. Call Brian for a free estimate today at 309-363-1467. Conley Concrete and Construction, your hometown builder. Go Big Blue!
Basio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning would like to wish the Knoxville Boys Varsity Football Team good luck today. And for quality service you can expect, call Basio for all your heating, plumbing, and drain needs. Call 342-6010.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Well, happy Halloween from WGIL. I'm Jim Lee along with Tyler Bachman at Fieldcrest High School in Minook, where Fieldcrest leads Knoxville 27-6, 3:03 to go third quarter. We were just talking with Eric Hansen back at the studio, and I had hopes that even though we took care of a lot of kids on Treat Street, the Halloween trick-or-treaters coming through this morning, that maybe there'd be some candy bars left, but it sounds like they got all eaten up.
Have
to buy our own peanut butter cups on the way home.
Guess so.
Onside kick for Knoxville, and that one, good kick, but Fieldcrest does a good job of swallowing that up right about the 45-yard line, and it'll stay with the Knights as the good hands team out there for Fieldcrest. Looked like 51 Matt Healy able to swallow that ball up and fall on it. And so Fieldcrest will start in good field position, and now they would love to just grind some time off the clock.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you go for it, try to put more points, or just try and grind it down at this point? I think you do a little bit of both, but
just still third quarter, so I'm sure they'll probably work their way toward the end zone again here at least once more. Try the inside handoff and some room to run there, breaking a couple of tackles and moving forward. Connor Keene, we mentioned coming in, Keene, their leading rusher on the season with 877 yards, averaged about 11 yards a carry. He hasn't averaged maybe that much here today, but they do such a great job of mixing up their plays.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a good short pass team. They go to the run, and that's how they beat you. And I'll tell you what, the thing with that last play, Knoxville not really wrapping up that well. They got to stay low, and they got to get these kids to the ground.
So it's second and four on the gain of six by Keene that time into Knoxville territory at the 48. Low snap, Barth hands off inside, and a movement there by Derek May, who's able to get near the first down six. Actually, Connor Keene again. I thought it was May, but it was Keene. So two straight carries for Keene, and has his team the third and very short. Maybe about a half a yard away.
Just short of a first down.
Again, on their last series, Anthony Rogers of Fieldcrest, one of their keys on offense, was lost to an injury. He's still down here on the bench in front of us looking at that knee, and I've got to think that does not bode well for not only today but the rest of the season for him.
Yeah. I don't think you look too much at working him that much miles today, but, yeah, if Fieldcrest goes on to win this game, definitely down the stretch, he's been an important player for them.
First down, they didn't get it by much on the inside handoff, left side, just able to get that half yard they needed to keep the drive alive. Next round, you know, it's amazing, you know, these teams, how hard they have to work to prepare in a week. But they used to play these playoff games on Wednesday night.
Oh, man.
You would play on Friday, you turn around and get ready for a playoff game on Wednesday night. We did that for years. Barth with a pass. Boy, he missed that one big time. He tried to throw it out there to Jack McDonough, put too much air under it. And finally, a little pressure. That was Tyler Houston that sacked Barth, and that's really about the first time he's been hit in the backfield the whole game.
Yeah, they got one through the line that time, and maybe in a combination of that and a little bit of a wet hand, but that one sailed.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, that's what happens. A good combination of the wetness. But you get pressure on a quarterback, and all of a sudden they don't get comfortable back there. Things can happen, but right. Knoxville's just not been able to do that enough today. Second down and 10 now, and some jumping up front. I think they got the Blue Bullets to give him 5 yards.
Yeah. That, he's been very effective. Barth has been very effective with that hard count today so far.
But yeah, we were talking about the, you know, you used to play Wednesday, and then if you won, you'd turn around and play again on Saturday.
Oh, man.
In that first week.
That's a lot of work. A lot of travel, too.
Oh, and it's a lot of headaches for the coaches trying to put together, you know, film and or back in the day, film and a game plan. There's a handoff inside. Not much there for Fieldcrest that time as they went to Connor Keene, and he got met at the line of scrimmage. Let's see. Give most of the credit to Jake Benefield there. Blake Hennepin also in the neighborhood.
Yeah, a bit of a rough snap. Barth had to really kind of move forward for that one and somehow flipped it off, but nothing doing for him.
Like the Fieldcrest look. They've got purple uniforms. Their helmets are white and purple, and there's a streak of like chrome or silver in it. It gives them a real
sharp.
Yeah, it's kind of a shiny look on that chrome. It's a very, very good look. Under a minute to go, third quarter now, and Knoxville nearly jumped again. No flag this time. Third and four. They're trying to get them offside to get a free first down. And now Barth will pull up out from under center and go into the shotgun for the play call here. He'll throw it inside, and boy, he underthrew that one after overthrowing two plays ago. That one, he threw it right into the ground, and really no chance on the play for the completion there for Fieldcrest.
Yeah, interesting call. A third and four, why not run it with the time, get rid of the third quarter here? But they went to that quick pass. I think they've seen it's worked for them today, but not really that much on this drive.
So it brings up fourth and four, and the clock stopped with 27 seconds to go before the end of this third quarter. We'll shuttle in the plays. We haven't seen a whole lot of number eight today, Mike Morse, but he brings that play in. It goes wide to the right side, too wide right for Fieldcrest. And now they're going to put another man in motion. As Barth, high snap, he had no chance. He got buried. Blake Hennepin and Tanner Warren in there for the Blue Bullets. As Barth went up to get that high snap, and as soon as he came down with it, he was looking at 55 and 77, bearing in on both sides of him. And he took the route and just said, I'm going to the ground.
Well, a little bit of life on that Knoxville sideline, but still a long ways to go here. As the third quarter is about done.
24 seconds left, and Knoxville gets the stop. It's been worse for them today. They were down 27-0. It's 27-6, and now they got the stop and got the ball back.
That's
so
true.
Let's see if we can't make something else good happen and make this a game into the fourth quarter. Hand off inside. Little room to run. A lot of room to run right up the middle. And one of the biggest running plays of the day so far is Jake Benefield rumbles up towards the 41-yard line of Fieldcrest.
It was a 20-yard gain on that little run up the middle. And he kept his feet moving, stayed low, and got up the field.
All right, way to go, Blue Bullets. See if they can't. You know, a lot of teams, they go to the fourth quarter and they hold their helmet up and yell four. Maybe that'll be the case for Knoxville today.
Well, this one's clicking down, but they're going to try and get another playoff here.
Yep, 7 seconds. They will get the snap off. Oh, boy, fumbled in the backfield, but picked up. It's not going to be a turnover, but it's not going to be a gainer either, as Jackson Lewis will run out of bounds and lose, boy, a good 5 yards here. He gets up slowly, but looks like he's going to be okay, and that is going to be the end of the quarter. Now, we do have, I think, a penalty. Seems to be a lot of conversation with the officials over here on the near side.
You talked about that field conditions with the mud on the field. Not a ton, but over on the sidelines, they're sure getting eaten up.
Okay, I guess there is no penalty. They were just figuring out where to spot the ball. We go to the fourth quarter. playoff football. Knoxville needs to come up big in the fourth quarter. They trail 27-6. We'll be back with more on WGIL and WGIL.com.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville!
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all. And most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
Bill, Matt, and Mike Hennifent of Twin Hill Farms and the Whitney and Potts Law Office of Elmwood, which specializes in real estate and farm, business and estate planning and administration, want to wish the Knoxville Blue Bullets good luck in the playoffs. Nothing beats family farming and football. Go Big Blue!
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Other playoff scores as we get started, set to start the fourth quarter here. Stark County leads Tremont 14-7 starting the fourth quarter. That one's surprisingly close. Hall over United after 3, 27-0. First play of this third quarter, a handoff for Knoxville, but not going anywhere. On second down and 16, it'll bring up third and 16 after no gain.
Yeah, 44 wasn't moving that time.
Let's see. We've also got Farmington trailing 20-0 to Hall. Make it 20-6, or not to Hall, to Sterling Newman, excuse me. 20-6 is the score I'm showing there. And
45-yard line.
Starting to see a lot of scores come in here now. We'll get to more of those as time allows. Knoxville right now facing 3rd and 15. The ball on the field crest 45. And you figure everything's got to be two downs now for Knoxville. They're trailing. A pitch back to Houston, and he doesn't have much help, and he gets drilled.
Yep.
Actually, I think it was Van Beveren that time. Blake Van Beveren got the pitch. Got our 22 and 24 mixed up, and Van Beveren got the ball, and then he got a whole lot of field crest tacklers.
Yeah, I don't think he got a gain on that one.
Nope, just got punished. And so, fourth down and 15. Will they punt this away? You hate to give the ball away when you're down 27-6 in the fourth, but that's an awful long 15 yards right now, and I think they're going to say, well, let's play the field possession game, maybe get a good punt here from Tyler Houston. Who knows? Maybe Fieldcrest will botch it like they did last time. That's what led to the Knoxville score. And the ball grazed the receiver, and Knoxville able to pick it up and then go in for the touchdown a few plays later. It's a fake punt. It's a fake punt. They wanted to option back to Houston. They can't.
Oh, he finds the hole.
Inside. He got a couple of yards, but well short of the first down is Gabe Sandoval. Sandoval, the front man, got it. And
a good idea, but, yeah, just quite a bit of a distance to cover there. And
it is.
It.
Fake punt on when you got about 5 yards to go.
Yep.
Yeah, about on 15 yards to go. That's really tough. The defense has to completely fall asleep to make that work. Knoxville hoping that would happen, but it didn't in that case. So ball over on downs as I wipe off my phone here. Trying to get a few other scores as the rain continues to fall here in Monunk. We've had a couple of respites where it stopped, but not for long. Never really had a heavy downpour, just a steady rain.
Right.
Barth back on the field. The Fieldcrest quarterback hands off inside to Connor Keane, who gets knocked down after maybe a gain of one.
That
was Jake Benefield again there on the tackle for Knoxville.
Benefield was the initial tackler on that play. Brings 2nd and 9 for the Knights at their own 42-yard line.
They're going the gun here for this next one coming up with a single back.
And Connor, or Drew Barth, their quarterback, keeps his hands in the pouch in front of him on the uniform. Tries to keep them dry ahead of the snap. Finally, after a long count, they're going to go inside and hand off and get a couple of yards for Jack McDonough. Give him a couple there, and they don't seem as concerned right now as moving the ball, is just taking as much time off the clock as they can in between every play.
Third down and 7 for the Knights.
So on 3rd and 7 with about 9 minutes left. It'd be nice to force them into a punt. We haven't seen
it would.
Seen that today.
I think they're going to keep running the ball here, try and wind some clock down.
And trying to get Knoxville to jump. They always on third down, always go with that long cadence. Now he's going to look at the sideline, wait. This is an experienced quarterback, and this is part of the reason Fieldcrest is doing as well this season as they are. Snap comes, throws it. Oh, boy, the receiver slipped. Derek May, ball was thrown behind him. And if you can imagine, if you got your momentum going forward on a day like this and the ball's thrown behind you,
yeah,
legs both went out from under him as he slammed out on his back, and he did get a hand on it, but that was about it. It's one of those where I'll go to the sidelines and say, you know, Drew.
You got to hit me a little more square in the numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're thinking here. Barth's way back there in the backfield. I don't know if he's going to.
I think he's going to be the punter here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, looks like it.
Fourth and seven.
Gonna wipe that ball down. It's slippery in those gloves, too.
So he'll kick it from about his own 35, again, barring a bad snap. And it's a little low, but he's got it. Puts the foot to it. Bit of a knuckleball out there. It's going to land at the 35 in Knoxville, bounce inside the 30, and they'll let it roll down to the 27, and that's where Fieldcrest will finally touch it. You hear the cowbell to our right as the home fans in Mononk happy with their Fieldcrest Knights for a good job on punt coverage.
I think if you're Fieldcrest on that one, made the best out of a bum drive, and now Knoxville will get a shot, but they're pretty deep in their own territory, about the 25-yard line.
Got a note that Knoxville junior Ryan Block has advanced to state in the cross-country sectional. So, done a great job running this year, and congratulations. The Liberty girls won the Elmwood cross-country sectional, but Knoxville girls got sixth. Ryan Block, though, advances to state, so congratulations to Ryan.
Well, Ty Houston gets about 2-3 yards on that one. Here to about a second and eight, looks like, second and seven. A
couple of games that are out of hand, which we knew they would be. There were some teams that made the playoffs this year that you're thinking, how in the world did they ever get in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Rockford Christian Life is losing 42-0 to Anawan Weathersfield in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And Chicago Douglas, Orion figured they got a pretty good draw there. They're up 34-0 in the first quarter.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, you know, that's one of those injustices where there are some decent teams still on the sidelines going, really?
Yeah.
They made it and we didn't? All right, inside handoff. Benefield tries to pull away from the line, but couldn't do it. He got hit, turned backwards, and was not only moving his body, but trying to hang on to the ball there, trying to strip it from him. Benefield was not going to let that happen.
Man, you know, Jim, you want to talk about a defensive MVP today? The entire D-line there for Fieldcrest has stopped the ball.
Yeah, yeah, really the secondary hasn't had to do too much at all.
Right.
Knoxville, not any passing game to speak of. And you find that, too, when you get to playoff football.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one part of your game that's deficient, it's going to get exposed.
Right.
Sometimes it's two or three rounds deep if you're really good at what you do. But today it's the first round, and Knoxville's inability really to have any passing game, and Fieldcrest just able to load up on the front, and they've shut down almost everything Knoxville would like to do running-wise,
well,
and now it's going to be another fourth down and three.
Yeah, and you've really seen Knoxville stay within those the dashes today. Not, I think only once I saw Lewis maybe spurt outside to do a little bit of mixed direction, but I think hardly any passing, almost all running, and up the middle. If you can't run it up the middle, they're going to stop you.
31-yard line. 6:43, clock still working its way down on this rainy afternoon in Mononk, where clock winding down on the Knoxville season, too, unless they can pull out a miracle here. Handoff inside. Right now they're just trying to get a first down. I think they may have got it.
Yep. A little forward momentum. It's going to be close. They might call for a spot on this one.
Yeah, I think where they've got the toes, it'll be one. And yes, they will move the chains.
First down, first and 10.
So the Knoxville Blue Bullets retain possession. We see Stark County now starting to pull away from Tremont, 21-7 early in the fourth quarter. But even with that win, there'll be a lot to practice on in Stark County this week. I think maybe you know, Summit handed them the first two or three rounds automatically, and I think they run into a Forreston team maybe next week that knocked them out last year. So right.
Looks like Knoxville going to take a timeout here and go to the sidelines, talk it over.
Yep, they will. Well, let's go ahead and take a timeout as well. If they're ready back at the studio, we will throw it back there for a minute and be back with more Knoxville playoff football as they trail 27-6 with 6:07 to go in the fourth quarter on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You finally decided to remodel the kitchen and bathroom, but now that you're ready, there's only one problem. You're not sure who's best to get the job done. Can you think of anyone better than someone who built his own house? Keith Gale, owner of Gale Builders, built his own house from ground up and specializes in room additions, bathroom and kitchen remodels, and decks. In fact, he can probably complete most any project you have inside and out. For a free estimate, contact Gale Builders at 343-2108. Gale Builders is a proud sponsor of today's Knoxville playoff game.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Usually on the first week of playoffs, you see some blowouts, and we're reading a lot of them here today. Lena Winslow, who many think is probably the team to beat in Class 1A, just stomping Princeville at last report, something like 50-0 or 50-7.
Nope.
Inside handoff, Knoxville has a first down.
Sandoval got a little hole on that one.
Yeah, about 11 yards on that carry.
Looks like he's got a first down.
And so Knoxville trying to get towards their second score. Long way to go, though. The ball's still not quite to midfield. The ball 46 of Knoxville after their second consecutive first down.
Yeah, that clock is just wanting faster and faster now as you break it down. And 27-6 score with a little under six to go. It's going to be tough.
Another handoff inside. Another room to run this time for Jake Benefield. Another Knoxville first down as he carries tacklers out for another 12-yard gain.
Yeah, good job keeping those feet moving. It was just a strain off those tacklers and kept moving down the field to about the 40.
Yep, mark it just outside the 40-yard line of Field Crest, and so Knoxville getting a little life on offense here. Fieldcrest led 19-0 at halftime. They took the opening kickoff of the second half, went 90 yards to jump out 27-0. Knoxville answered with their first score in the middle of the third quarter, and now they'll hand off inside and gave Sandoval a little room to run, but not much. Gave him 1-2 yards tops. Knoxville trying to at least make the score look a little more respectable here. Fieldcrest is one of those teams. They're solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to go a long way in the playoffs? I don't know about that, but they might be able to get through another round anyway.
Right.
And especially Rogers, that'll be a big key. If Rogers can come back, the young man that hurt his knee there in the third quarter, a big part of their offense. Handoff inside, cutting back. Houston tried to plant that left foot, wasn't able to get much traction, and got maybe 2 yards at best.
Time continues to tick here. Just almost about 4 minutes left in this game, and that running game is really all that's, if anything, kept Knoxville in the game. I think we only maybe have one pass that we've seen today so far.
As we said at the outset, Fieldcrest has lost a couple of games this year, and both of them that were decisive. Downs Tri-Valley, the number one rated team, I believe, in 2A. And then to Gibson City, a 1A team that's like rated fourth, but they beat them 52-0 just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you got to know how much those teams have got on the ball to do that to a pretty good Fieldcrest team here. Watch out for that Gibson City team, which is in their conference.
See a pass now.
Yep, he'll drop back and throw it far sideline as Jackson Lewis tried to connect out there, but it was overthrown. Ball thrown towards the Knoxville fan bus over there. I guess it was Tyler Houston who slipped along the far sideline. Still lined by all the Knoxville faithful. As, again, they've pretty well lined that whole side of the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Good turnout today.
Even in the rainy weather, and playoff football is fun because you line the field with tents on both end zones.
Mm-hmm.
And if the weather was better, you'd probably have another couple hundred locals out here too.
Right.
3:57 to go, fourth quarter. Clock stopped, and back to pass is Jackson Lewis once again. This time he tries again. Pretty much the same play and nearly picked off that time. as over there for Fieldcrest was Drew Barth, the quarterback. And that was a little over his head, so, and he's 6'4", so you know that ball was up in the air. And Houston had no chance at it, so on fourth down, the Blue Bullets give it up. Fieldcrest gets it back with 3:51 to play, and this is one of those points of the game. If they're able to grind out a few first downs, Knoxville may not touch it again.
Yep, looks like it.
Just after 3 o'clock, so the game is 2 hours old and probably not going to be a whole much longer here, barring a Fieldcrest turnover. They will go with the inside handoff, weaving his way around, trying to find some room to run. It's Connor Keene. He doesn't find much, a couple of yards at best. Tackle on the play for the Blue Bullets by Jake Chrisman.
I'll tell you what, Jim, they love to go out of that shotgun, even on these run plays. Not a lot of under center.
Second and 8 for the Knights at their own 42.
Yeah, I think it gives the quarterback more of the option and it keeps the defense guessing. Is he really going to hand it off? Is he going to roll out? And I think just the way they're able to use this multifaceted attack is what makes them so effective, because they're not a real – I mean, their backs are small, but they're able to get the most out of them by the way they run the offense.
Right.
Hand off inside goes to Keen again, and he gets near the first down, sticks out near midfield. Ball going to be marked at about the 49. I think that's just a hair short of the first down.
See,
and now they got it. That's funny. He was going to put it down just shy, and somebody over here on the near sideline yells, little more, and he did.
Oh, man.
All right, I'll put it forward a little farther. First down, Fieldcrest. If that happened in a close game, you'd have a mutiny on your hands from the Knoxville sideline. But at this point, you figure, what the heck? A little more. Well, and it's funny, these high school venues, you can hear everything, especially this place. The stands are so close to the field.
Right.
And the officials, even when they make a call in the center of the field, you hear it. They don't even have to talk loudly. You hear what they're saying.
Exactly. It's a close knit field here.
It is. Inside, handoff. Not much there as Barth gives it off to Keene, and they are just kind of grinding out the end of this one. The clock still running at 2:23 as Fieldcrest will move on in the playoffs. I'd like to thank all of our sponsors that jumped in and helped to, on short notice, broadcast the game today here on WGIL. One of the first times we've been able to do an area game postseason, and we hope to be able to do a few more of those now that the addition of 93.7 FM as well as 1400 AM gives us a little more flexibility going forward in some of those things we might be able to do in the years ahead outside of just the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Under 2 minutes to go, long count, inside handoff, Keene again. And I'll tell you what, his 11 yards per carry thing is going to go down in a hurry.
He's getting stopped.
He hasn't averaged 11 yards per rush here, but he had through the course of the season. But they haven't needed him to in this one. They've mixed it up pretty well. And, you know, at this point, they're not going to show you anything new either. There's team scouting them, getting ready for next week.
Yep, exactly.
They don't want to tip their hand on anything that they... new wrinkles they might want to use later.
Yep, minute. Run a few more, you take it to the tent, I guess, not the locker room today. But
and Knoxville jumping off sides there. They've done that a few times today against. And at this point, I'm not sure why Fieldcrest is even attempting to do that, but brings up a third and five. And I suppose they're just taking their time, too, with that clock running.
Mm-hmm.
Take long snap counts. See if they can get somebody a little anxious out there. And, yeah, they are. They are milking every play right down to the last few seconds before they snap it. I'm guessing Keene's going to get another handoff here. What do you think?
Yeah, I would not doubt it.
The only guy in the backfield, and I don't think I want my quarterback keeping it.
Now they get a little low on the clock, and they snap it.
Hey, there's a handoff to Keene.
Yep.
Blue Bullets are ready for that. He gets another yard.
We'll take it to the final seconds here.
Yep. Tackle on the play by Matt Kurgan for the Blue Bullets.
And the Fieldcrest faithful are cheering their team on a win here today.
And they only have to snap it one more time, as you can hear the Fieldcrest fans, like you said, Tyler, whooping it up.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy for the win, and they're happy to go in where it's dry indoors somewhere, too, I think.
Man, looks like they're maybe need to knee it down one more time before the play clock expires. But
yep, they're going to pack everybody in. Quarterback Drew Barth will take it and drop to the knee, and that is it.
That's it.
On a rainy and cool Halloween Saturday in Minunk, the homestanding Fieldcrest Knights have advanced to the second round of the IHSA Class 2A playoffs with a 27-6 win over the Knoxville Blue Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back to wrap things up after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Bill, Matt, and Mike Hennefent of Twin Hill Farms and the Whitney and Potts Law Office of Elmwood, which specializes in real estate and farm, business and estate planning and administration, want to wish the Knoxville Blue Bullets good luck in the playoffs. Nothing beats family farming and football. Go Big Blue!
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all, and most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Well, in the high school football, so a couple of area teams have gone by the wayside, including Knoxville here today, 27-6 at the hands of Fieldcrest. And Tyler Bachman, thank you for coming and joining us today, and also for, through the rain, keeping some statistics out here in the bleachers.
Yeah, well.
And you haven't had too much to write down for passing yardage for Knoxville. That was non-existent today.
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of a mismatch passing. We had about 150 yards for Drew Barth from Fieldcrest, but nothing from Jackson Lewis over there. And really, you know, we talked a little bit about Fieldcrest being a bit of a 50-50. We had a lot of short passes for Fieldcrest, but also the running game looks well for him today, and it looks pretty well polished out here, regardless of the weather conditions.
Yeah, it was interesting. A couple of the players for Fieldcrest, after everybody had exchanged the greetings on the field, as they came running back up towards the home sidelines, they dove in the mud and slid on their stomach. And the fans were enjoying that, and I'm sure the players were too. The mothers won't when they go to do the laundry on that uniform.
Well, at least they got those purple jerseys to deal with, not a lot of white.
Yeah. So Fieldcrest folks happy, Knoxville happy to have had a good season, but it comes to an end here. Many of the players out there hugging each other for Knoxville. You know, it's been a long battle since their first day of camp there in August through the hot days. And then a long 9-week season going 6-3 and getting a playoff berth and doing the community proud, but coming up a little bit short out here at Fieldcrest.
So. Yeah, always a tough one to swallow, but a great season. And you know what? They played well. They had a good season out the entire time. And, you know, pretty much you just got to look and build on this and come back next season strong.
Yep, Coach Ryan Hebert and company doing a good job there. A couple other scores. We've got Hall shutting out United. That was the final 34-0. Sterling whipping Metamora 44-12 late third quarter. And let's see, anything else? Not a whole lot else new that we haven't passed along already. Peoria Notre Dame leading Normal West in the second quarter 6-0. Quincy getting buried by Oak Forest. So the Western Big Six is not faring well. Most of Western Illinois not faring well in these playoffs, which again hasn't been that big of a surprise, as just about everybody having to go on the road for their openers and finding the sledding pretty tough. Anything else as far as the stats we need to know, Tyler, before we wrap this up?
Well, it doesn't look like a whole lot. Really not a lot. A bit of rushing from Knoxville, only about 50 yards it looks total, but yeah, Fieldcrest really dominating the game today for them. And then obviously the turnover ratio, too. Nothing really for Fieldcrest, but we had about three or four for Knoxville.
Okay. All right. Let's take our final break, and we'll come back and wrap things up from Fieldcrest High School after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
There are few things more exciting and overwhelming than buying a new home. As if the thought of moving isn't stressful enough, you have to worry about paperwork, too? I'm Amber Smith, mortgage loan officer at Tompkins State Bank in Galesburg. Whether it's your first time or you've jumped through these hoops before, the process never gets less complicated. I do all the legwork I can and will hold your hand through the entire process. To put it simply, I've got your back. track. So when you're ready to take on the title of homeowner, come see me. NMLS 107-2208.
Tompkins State Bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Conley Concrete and Construction of Knoxville congratulates the Knoxville Blue Bullets football team for a great season. Conley Concrete and Construction specializes in residential and commercial concrete flat work for driveways, pole barns, patios, and new buildings. Plus, they do general construction work like kitchen and bathroom models, room additions, build garages, and pole barns. Call Brian for a free estimate today at 309-363-1467. Conley Concrete and Construction, your hometown builder. Go Big Blue!
JC&R Power Equipment in Knoxville is the one-stop place. Since 1992, family-owned and operated JC&R has been selling, servicing, and stocking parts for the best mowers and power equipment in the world. Names you know and trust, Gravely, Arians, and Husqvarna, as well as knowledgeable sales and service people who can help you find the right equipment and keep it running like new. Open weekdays 9 to 6 and Saturdays 9 until noon. Call 309-289-8801 or come on in to JC&R Power Equipment, your one-stop place.
There's a lot of history there between the Blue Bullets and Yem Chevrolet. And while they can't all be there, you can bet the entire staff at Yem on North Henderson and Galesburg, from the front of the showroom to the last bay in the service department, is listening right now and cheering for the blue and gold. Go Knoxville!
Congratulations to the Knoxville High School Blue Bullets on advancing to the playoffs. The entire community is behind you. Give it your all, and most importantly, have fun. Backhoe Joe is a proud supporter of the Knoxville Blue Bullets. Joe, getting dirty so you don't have to.
Knoxville High School playoff football on WGIL has been brought to you in part by JC&R Power Equipment, Big Cats Barbecue, Basio Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Yim Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Knoxville High School playoff football has also been brought to you by Tompkins State Bank, Conley Concrete and Construction, Gail Yolders, Backhoe Joe, and the law firm of Whitney and Potts. Proud to bring you Knoxville High School playoff football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
All right, well, another season is in the books of high school football here on Galesburg Radio, WGIL and WGIL.com, with this loss by Knoxville today to Fieldcrest 27-6. And next up, we turn our attention to the great indoors, where basketball season will be with us. And in recent weeks, we'd heard from Galesburg High School coaches Evan Massey and Mike Reynolds about the girls and boys basketball seasons, and that'll be our next broadcast coming up. The girls getting their portion of the Thanksgiving tournament underway and a few games, and then the boys will have their portion a week later. In fact, the girls, I believe, start practice this Monday officially.
It's coming up quick.
And the boys the following week. And so, yeah, and high hopes for both, as always, the boys and girls basketball teams for Galesburg High. And we'll have all their games, as always, here on WGIL this coming season. So. Football-wise, Tyler, thank you for coming out in inclement weather. Your first sports broadcast and after doing the news here on WGIL, and I wish we could have had a little bit more congenial setup as far as our accommodations here today, but you bared it pretty well in your trash bag. And
yeah, we put something together here today, and it was fun. I had a great time.
I haven't done a game for the bleachers for quite a while, so thanks for sharing that with me. And back to the station for everybody that was taking care of things, Chris McIntyre and Eric Hansen, Brian Prescott, feeding us some of the scores elsewhere today, and also to another guy who was, doing his fair share and keeping us informed, Brad Benowitz, our play-by-play man for the Silver Streaks, sending in a lot of scores from other games as well. So thanks for all of their help and for listening. Thanks for joining us, Tyler. Take care. And we will head it back from Monunk, Illinois, where Knoxville lost to Fieldcrest today, ending their season, the final score 27-6. I'm Jim Lee for WGIL. Have a happy and safe Halloween.